Blog Talk Radio.
She's coming now. You need to come. You have to share. She's so beautiful.
I don't need that. Okay.
Right there.
So as we were in prayer, as I was kneeling by my husband, what came to me is that as he was addressing the church, all I heard in my spirit is that there is a shakening that's going to happen in the church that is so strong, and this is for the body at large, that is so strong that only those that have their eyes fixed on Jesus will stand. But it's necessary to happen. The shaking that's getting ready to take place is necessary, because the Lord needs his bride to be focused. So keep your eyes focused. And I saw literally our feet being planted in firm foundation, like, you know, concrete, when it's settling and it's wet and it dries, and our feet are like solid in him. And we were focused on him, and I saw our eyes fixed on him. And that's the posture he wants his church, firm and grounded on him, fixed on him, not looking to the right or the left, because what's getting ready to unfold and take place is beyond what we can think or imagine. And we have to be fixed on him. We have to be so just devoted and just focused on him, which is why he's trying to address his bride and get you refocused. That is not about ministry. It's not about all these other things. It's about him. And that's why he wants us to return to our first love, which is him. Nothing else can get in the way. So that's what I saw. I'm not going to add more or take away. That's exactly what I heard in my spirit. So stay focused on him. That's why he's redirecting us to be so caught up in his presence and seeking his face. Because there's more that he's going to pour out for the end time, because we are living in those times now, presently. So be encouraged.
Folks, today's message is titled Understanding the Times and the Sons of Issachar. You know, the sons of Issachar have been heavy on my heart lately. For those of you that don't know who Issachar was, he was one of the sons of Jacob, born to Leah. You can read about that in the book of Genesis, chapter 35, verse 23. Something very interesting was said about the sons of Issachar. We are told they had an understanding of the times. In fact, in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32, we read the following. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. If you're a student of Bible prophecy in the world today, you can clearly discern the times we are living in. But most of the church has no clue about the times and seasons that God has so clearly laid out for us in his word. I want to bring to our attention the rebuke Jesus gave to those around him who were not paying attention to the times during his first coming. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 54 to 56, the Lord Jesus Christ says the following. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? So we are told that the sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times, but the people did not discern the signs of the times during Jesus' first coming. The people, however, were without excuse to not understand and be watching, because over 300 detailed prophecies had foretold that Christ was coming. The Old Testament provided a description of the circumstances around which the promised Messiah would be born, the bloodline he would come through, the events that would take place in his life, as well as his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ fulfilled all of these in his first coming to the earth. It is worth noting that even their rejection of Christ was also prophesied. You can read about that in the book of Isaiah and the book of Psalms. The people could discern by looking at the sky if good or bad weather was coming, but they could not discern the promised coming of their Messiah to be watching and waiting for it. That also sounds similar in our world today, doesn't it? All of the signs Jesus told us to look for to signal his soon return are staring us in the face. And yet the majority of the world could care less and have no clue about what is about to come upon this world. In the book of Luke chapter 21 verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ says the following, "For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Is there a connection between the sons of Issachar and those of us around the world today that are watching for the Lord's return? Recognize the season we are in and know that Jesus Christ is about to rapture his church. I would say, absolutely. Again, we are told the sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times, which means they were aware of what time they were living in. We are told very clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we, the children of a light, will have an understanding of the times, and we will see the day approaching. The Bible also tells us that day should not catch us off guard like a thief in the night. Unfortunately, for the majority of the world, it will catch them off guard because they are not watching. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1-9, the Apostle Paul records the following, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day..."
You may be at church, you may be at work, you may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurred on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
Hello everyone, welcome back to the channel. Share, subscribe, like this video. Make sure you put your prayer request in the bottom. I want to get back on here and let everybody know to definitely be safe out there. There's just so much going on. And active shooters all over, you know, in different places. We had the thing in Maine last night. New Jersey today. You're going to see a pickup of that. I can definitely feel it. Chaos is everywhere. You're starting to see evil come out from every corner. We're seeing it on the channels, being attacked through comments. I mean, evil comments, not normal comments. Evil is definitely coming out of every dark corner you can think of, so definitely be safe out there. Israeli minister today got kicked out of the UN. But the one thing that really stands out to me is what's happening in the West Bank. Now, if you don't know, the Palestinians have the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Nothing's really happening in the West Bank, but now all of a sudden it is starting. So if the West Bank goes hot along with the Gaza Strip, and they're pretty much telling the people in the Gaza and the West Bank to leave now while you still have a chance. This is going to increase the hatred of the Jews, is what I'm afraid of. We're already seeing that through Christians and many others that are picking sides in the last days, or just picking the wrong side, which they're about to find that out very quickly, that they picked the very wrong side. You know, if people would just pick up a Bible, it would make their lives so much easier, but they've chosen to be lazy and just skate by and listen to what other tells them. And now they're paying for it. And a lot of them are going to be lost for it. That's why I tell you to read your Bible and to understand it and know it, study it. You know, that's one thing I'm constantly doing is learning. And that's all I've done for a whole year. It's just literally learning everything I can about the Jews, their cycles, the moon phases, the scripture, and putting everything together. Others don't do that. They just literally try to skate by, and now they've put themselves in danger because of it. That's why you have a whole society of lost that don't know where they're at, what time they're in, or even what clue of what's going on. They just think nothing can touch them. And that's why sudden destruction will get them. Listen, people. Russia has unveiled a new weapon system that can shoot down jets without them even knowing what hit them. And I've seen Lisa Boyce touch on this, but I'm going to go a little bit farther. This is probably why we saw what we saw with the nuclear weapons. Now stay with me. If their jets cannot give them air superiority, it's going to come down to nuclear bombs. I think that's why you're seeing all this happen. Because they will revert to these horrible weapons after we're gone. Because they can't get jets into these places. So they will revert to them. That's probably what brings that out. Because I've thought about it all this time. Why do they bring out these god-awful weapons? And now with this new weapon system, and they can't fly or have air superiority over a place like Iran. Because trust me, these systems are being shipped to Iran as we speak. That's going to make the military revert to these horrible weapons. You see how it's all being set up? The pieces are all there to escalate it. Satan's putting all his pieces together to escalate this war into a nuclear war. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, we knew that the nuclear war was coming, and it's coming soon. And if people only knew what God has told us, they'd be on their knees right now begging. But I'm telling you, they will not hear to the gospel. We're giving you final warnings over and over that you're out of time. And people still mock and scoff all the way to the end. And they're about to find out that that's not a very wise idea. Because once we're gone and the rapture occurs, which could be in the next 48 hours, it could be in the next 12 hours. I mean, it's that close. People can laugh and smock about it all they want. But it is coming. And we are leaving. And the rest of the world is going to be in an ash heap. Because these god-awful weapons are going to be used, and they're going to be used in large sums. A lot of people think that that's impossible. It will not happen. I have seen it happen, and many others have too. Russia and America will get into a nuclear war, and it will literally obliterate most of the cities in America. Most of Moscow, pretty much all Ukraine, and all of Belarus will be incinerated during this world war. This is not like World War I and World War II. It will be 48 hours, and there won't be much left. There won't be men in ditches fighting with tanks. That's not going to happen this time. Lucifer has made sure of that. Understand what I'm saying. Lucifer has made sure that this war will go nuclear. He's made sure of it. And once the restrainer is gone, which is the bride, the church, those that are saved, once that restrainer is removed, he has full reign to get this nuclear war to happen. The nuclear war has to happen to give him the peace in Israel that he's seeking. Understand, this is what gives the Antichrist his start. this nuclear war. Because after this nuclear war, when people don't have drinking water, they don't have stores anymore, there's no electricity, trust me, they're going to want to get him back to some kind of normal life. He's going to give them that. Millions on top of millions gone in 48 hours from the nuclear exchange. He'll have every tool that he needs to set this up. And Israel will take the peace deal. They'll have no choice. They actually don't have no friends. America will be gone, along with her navies and everything else. It's all gone once this happens. Same way with Russia. Russia will be, they'll still be there, but the thing is, Israel will still be surrounded by her enemies. But America and a lot of the European nations will be gone. That's her support at this moment. And a lot of the European nations don't care for her, and neither does our government. Our government is just literally looking after her own interests when it comes to that fuel that's coming out of the Middle East. Don't think she's there for any other reason. I'm not talking about the American soldiers. There's a lot of supporters of the Jews that's fighting in those military uniforms. But our government, as of the one that's in there now, is no fan of Israel. So never underestimate that. But America is destined to be gone, and it will be gone. And if you only knew how close that was, you wouldn't be laughing and smocking. Listen, people. Right now is not the time for that. Listen, we don't want to see nobody left behind. You will not see me going on these other channels that don't believe the way we do and threaten them like we get threatened on these channels. That should tell you all you need to know. Listen, there is a nuclear holocaust on its way, and it's coming. It is coming. Many have seen it, and all in the same description of it. God does not show that many people the same event and it not happen. He did that because he loves you, and he wants you to understand that the rapture is your way out. Your prepping, all that stuff, is not going to help you. You cannot haul your house on your back. Once we are gone, everybody under the sun will turn against you, your own family, your friends, everybody, because without that mark, you ain't going to be able to buy or drink or anything. You're not going to have a Walmart. It will be hell upon this earth. That's why we're warning you, why you still have time. Trust in the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he did that for you. You that's listening to this right now. You that laugh, you that smock. He did that for you. And all you got to do is accept that he died on the cross for your sins. And believe it in your heart, and you're saved. And it will wake you up before it's too late. Listen, we're warning just like Noah did that the water's coming. I'm here to tell you, I don't care who you are, how much you hate me, how much you can't stand me, I still love you. And I don't want to see you left behind. Because I know Jesus loves you more than anything because he died for you. And that's why we do this day in, day out. Every watchwoman and watchman that ever it's attacked by these people, we're doing it so you will not be left behind. That's the name of it. It's not the final date of the rapture or who's got the right calendar. That's garbage. We're here to remind you that you're out of time and to get on the ark while you still have an opportunity. And you're out of opportunities. Unfortunately, you're down to the last seconds that you'll have to choose a side. And I pray that you choose wisely. Because the world's armies are headed towards Israel. God's worst, these horrible weapons will be used once we're gone. Definitely keep an eye if you're in the United States in these big cities. Keep your head on a swivel, because evil is coming out of every corner and every crevice, and it's running amok. We are definitely in the beginnings. We're starting to see it. The tribulation is any minute once we leave, because it's growing. The Antichrist spirit is developing everywhere. People are taking it in, and they're spreading it like a disease. I know you see it, brothers and sisters, just like I do. The Antichrist spirit is everywhere, and it's running amok all over the world. It's bringing forth the nations to destroy themselves. Satan is getting his pieces ready. They call it Jacob's trouble for a reason, and Daniel. There's a reason. You're seeing that develop. Do you see it? Israel is in trouble from every corner. And once she fully goes into Gaza and she goes into the West Bank, which I believe she's planning on doing, and hitting Iran, Jacob's trouble will really begin. That's why it's called that. It's not the tribulation for the church. It has nothing to do with church. We've told you that for a year, but these people refuse to understand it. They refuse to believe it. And now, I hate to say it, it's time. They were going to find out the hard way. And I hate that more than ever. Because from what I've seen, you don't want to be in it. I've seen a time where you cannot trust your own family. There's no lights. There's no water. It is hell up on earth. You do not want to go through it. Do you really want to bet your soul that you're right when you're wrong? Why don't you ask Jesus tonight if there's a rapture and let him take you to it? I did, and he showed it to me. That's why we don't bow to these people who teach the other way. That's why. Because we know. Paul taught it. It's not hard, but they don't want to see it. They fought it for so long that they don't want to believe it. Now listen, you can believe in the rapture or not, but if you believe in the blood of Jesus, it don't matter if you believe in it or not. That's not what's going to hurt you. If you believe in the blood of Jesus, the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, don't matter if you believe it or not, you're still going to go in the rapture. So that's what's more important than anything. I don't even care if you do believe or not believe in it. What I want you to do is believe in the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. I want you to read it, understand it, and believe in it. Because that is the key to everything. It all goes through Jesus. It's not us. But you're running out of time. The world's powers are going to have this war, because Satan has to have it to get his peace deal. This is that war that brings that deal. You can believe it or not, but it's here. We're going to keep monitoring everything. We'll probably be back on with more updates, but understand, the more the hours go by, the more disturbing the news gets. And you're running out of time. If I don't see or hear from you again, I'll see you in heaven. Thank you once again for tuning in to Global Rapture Watchers, where we do daily updates here on YouTube, letting you know that we're one day closer to our Lord and Savior coming back. Thank you for all the support for this channel. This channel was created for God's sheep, those that are waiting for their Lord and Savior to come back and get us in these last days. We do updates once to two times a day here on YouTube. Thank you for all your support for the channel. God bless each and every one of you.
Hey guys, today's the 26th. I'm going to start doing very, very short videos.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sounds clear. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah, and Brother Elby. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the Lord's hour. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we got to be ready at all times. At all times. Hallelujah. We have to be ready at all times waiting for our King. Hallelujah, because he's coming back and he's about to return. Thank you, sister. Sounds clear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, pray, Jesus, hallelujah. Repent, Jesus, of all type and kind of sins that I have committed against you since the day that I was born, Lord Jesus, until this day and the last day of the rapture, my Lord. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. We repent, Lord. We repent, Jesus. Cleanse us with your holy and mighty blood, Lord. God Almighty, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, have mercy, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, Lord, from all of us, Lord, for the things that are coming, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. We repent. Cleanse us, Jesus, from all unrighteousness and keep us clean, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, in charge of my protection. Holy Spirit, in charge of everyone, every listener that is here. Protect the Holy Spirit. Oh, protect us all, Lord Jesus, with your holy, mighty blood. That's Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Take control, Holy Spirit. Take control. Ministry to your people tonight, Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God Almighty. You're welcome here, Jesus. You are welcome here, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Father God. Holy Father of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for Jesus and thank you for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Ministry to your people tonight, Holy Spirit. Ministry to your people tonight. Touch people's heart. Touch them, heal them, deliver them. Hallelujah. And make them ready for the rapture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you are awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, welcome to the Lord's hour, my brothers and sisters. Welcome, Sister Regina. Hallelujah. A faithful, faithful servant of the Lord, Sister Regina. She's always there. May God bless you, sister. And I pray to God that you will be my neighbor in heaven. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Lord's hour, everyone, every listener, everyone who is in the cell phones listening, in the archives. Hallelujah. People that are listening in the cell phone, may God bless you. May God bless you abundantly. Hallelujah. And my brothers and sisters that are listening, we got to get ready. Hallelujah. Because we're about to go home. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is coming back and we're going to see each other in heaven. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be happy. No more pain. No more sorrow here on earth. Forget about earth. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah, is going to give us, praise God, hallelujah, a new body. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And we're going to see each other again, hallelujah, in heaven. And we're going to be with the Lord for eternity, eternity, eternity. And who can separate us, hallelujah, from the love of God? Who can separate us, hallelujah, from Jesus? Hallelujah. And those that are going to be listening in the archives, hallelujah. May God bless you. May God bless you. Welcome to the Lord's hour, my brothers and sisters. Every friend that is listening to, may God bless you. Bless you abundantly. May Jesus Christ give you his shalom. Hallelujah. His peace. Oh, God. God is good. God is good. My brothers and sisters, I'm coming with a dream. Hallelujah. God gave me a dream about the rapture, and God gave me a dream about the earthquake. Oof. I'm going to be talking about that later. Hallelujah. But first is the word of God. So God wants us, my brothers and sisters, to stay in holiness and stay in righteousness right now and strive for peace with everyone. We have to make a peace with everyone. If you're angry with somebody, make your peace with that person. Say, I'm sorry. Even if it was that person's fault, just go and say, I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters. Please, you got to get ready. You got to get ready for the rapture. No resentment. No unforgiveness. Remember that God forgive us. God forgive us. But we have to forgive people so he can forgive us. Amen. Because God is holy, my brothers and sisters. God is holy. And he wants us to be holy. With our holiness, hallelujah, no one will see the face of God. Amen. And we have to, hallelujah, we have to stay in righteousness. We have to stay in holiness. Amen. So strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Says the word God in Hebrews 12, verse 14. Take control, Holy Spirit. And thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Oh, thank you so much. It's greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, Lord, for being here. Because this is about you, Jesus. This is absolutely zero about me. I'm just an instrument. I'm a servant of the Lord. The God can use me however he wants to, however he pleases. And I have asked the Lord, hallelujah, that whatever I'm going to, I have asked the Lord, Lord, please take control. I've been praying. Take control. Lord Jesus, in the Lord's hour, whatever that he will use me, he will use me, but not me, though, that he will take control and he will use me, but for his glory. Hallelujah, because the glory is for Jesus. The honor is for Jesus. The glory is for the Holy Spirit, and the honor is for the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All the praise is for, hallelujah, for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. And thank you so much, Father God. And I pray that you will send archangels to fight on our behalf, archangels to take care of our families, to take care of all of us. Thank you so much, Lord, because I know you're doing it. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Thank you so much, because I know you're doing it, Lord. I know and I feel it, Lord. And you're an awesome God. And you are so good, Lord. You are so good. You deserve the glory, you deserve the honor, you deserve everything, Lord, because you are good. You're a good God. Hallelujah. And God is always watching over us. God is always taking care of his people. He's watching over us, and he wants us, hallelujah, to make it in the rapture. Please, friend, please run to the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Run to the Lord, because time is running out. Oh my goodness, when I saw that earthquake, my brothers and sisters, Oh my goodness. It was horrible. And the rapture, I seen it. I'm going to let you know, hallelujah, in a little bit. I'm just so excited, hallelujah, to be here. Praise the living God. So the Lord wants us to strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And then 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, there you go, from every defilement of a body and a spirit, bringing holiness to completion and in the fear of God. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have to come to Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light. Without Jesus, hallelujah, we can't do nothing. Without Jesus, we can be saved. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 1, 15, verse 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you should be holy, for I am holy. Praise the living God. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There's no rock like our God. Absolutely true. 1 Samuel 2:2. Leviticus 20, verse 26. You should be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. So when you feel, that you're still missing your friend, or you're still missing so-and-so that you're with, and you miss the old days, no, instead, be happy. Be happy because the Lord separated you from those people. Because if he would have never separated you from those people, you would be walking in a wrong, you would be going to the wrong road. And take a look right now where those friends are. and that would have been your place. But the Lord rescued you. The Lord delivered you. The Lord took you away. And you know what? At that moment, we think, oh, why is this happening? Why am I losing my friend? Why am I losing, if you were with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, why is this happening? Because the Lord is separating you. And the Lord did separate you because he had a bigger plans for your life. He had bigger plans for your life. He also, hallelujah, have separated you because he wants you to make it, hallelujah, in the rapture. Okay, if you were to continue in that life, you would be still in the world. And remember, we have to separate ourselves from the world. We have to separate ourselves from the world. We have to tell the flesh, no, no. We have to tell the spirit, hallelujah, yes, hallelujah, praising God, praying to God, hallelujah, getting closer to God, seeking God, hallelujah, staying righteousness and staying holiness. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And he's pleased, hallelujah, to see us doing that. So that's why he separated us, because at that moment, we felt sad, right? We felt like, why are they going on me? We felt depressed, but that's okay. He took you out of there, and now you're happy. Now you're actually grateful. Now you're actually happy that he took you out of that situation. You're now looking back and you're thinking, oh my goodness, if I would have stayed there, I would have still be there. And now look at where you are. Hallelujah. And the Lord has protected you. The Lord has blessed you. The Lord, hallelujah, you're reading the word of God. You're seeking God, hallelujah. God has even given you dreams. God has been giving you visions to some of you. And God is there with you, hallelujah. And he will never fail you. Because he will not lie, because he's not a man like us that we will lie. He's not like God is not a God of liar. He is the God of truth. Hallelujah. If we read the word of God, we will find out how he is. Praise God. So he's separating you. And so you should be happy and rejoiceful and thankful. Hallelujah. Because now you are with him. And praise God for that, the Lord. Leviticus 20, verse 26, you should be holy to me, for the Lord am holy and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. Now you are his. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Now he's telling you, you are mine. Oh, yes, and the Lord is ours too. We are his. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Hallelujah. But now that you have been set free, hallelujah, he set you free, right? And you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to the sanctification, and it ends eternal life. Woo-hoo! Romans 6:22. What is that? The fruit you get leads to sanctification. Listen very well. And it ends eternal life. That is what Jesus has for you. Hallelujah. So run away from that world. Depart yourself from the world. Turn your back to the world. Turn your back to your friends that are actually going to lead you, you know, to Satan's hands. They're going to lead you to the world. You run the opposite way. You go and run to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 5, verse 42. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Hallelujah. And how do we do that? How can we be perfect, right? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We become perfect. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. That's why we have to repent. We have to say, Lord, I repent from all type and kind of a sins, Lord, that I have done all of my life since the day that I was born until now in the last second of the rapture. I am so sorry. But it has to be a true repentance. Amen? You have to meet it. It has to come from your heart. Okay? A true repentance, and a true repentance is you walk away from that sin. You don't go back to the same sin that it was keeping you away from Jesus. Amen. When you hallelujah, you repent, then Jesus, hallelujah, deliver you. And you let the Lord know. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. Whatever sin it is, Lord, I'm sorry for this sin. And you mention this sin. Be honest with the Lord. The Lord already knows. Say, Lord, I am so sorry. I repent. Lord Jesus, please cleanse me with your holy and mighty blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and keep me clean, my Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, and write my name in the book of life. Oh, Lord, please, Lord, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to stay here in this horrible world where Satan is going to rule the world and demons are going to be all over the place. Lord, have mercy of me and take me, Lord Jesus. Take me with you. I want to be with you. And for that, you got to turn 360. You have to turn away. You got to turn away from the Lord. Away from the world. May the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, Satan, and your demons. You got to turn away from the world, okay? And you got to turn your back to that world. Hallelujah. And you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek Jesus. Seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Read the word of God and come into repentance, a true repentance. Hallelujah. And you give your life to Jesus and you say, Lord Jesus, I accept you. I accept you. Hallelujah. In my heart, I know that you died for my sins. Hallelujah. Reconcile back with the Lord and say, I repent, I repent, I repent, I repent, I repent, my Lord, I'm so sorry. Write my name in the book of life, Jesus, please, Lord. Have mercy on me and deliver me. Deliver me, Lord, because the Lord can do everything. Hallelujah. God can do everything. What is impossible for you, it is possible for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So give your life to Jesus because he loves you. Hallelujah. God is a consuming fire. God is a God of wrath, but also God is a God of love. But what is coming, friends, is the judgment of God, and it's coming. In the tribulation, it's going to be 100% the judgment and the wrath of God. You do not want to be left behind because the people that are going to be left behind, they're going to see the wrath of God. Amen. God has been giving time. He has been giving grace. He has been mercy for many, many thousands and thousands and thousands and many, 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 many years and years and years and years. And unfortunately, what's happening now is that people have gone crazy. Now this world is contaminated. It's upside down. They're putting some laws in school so kids cannot, will not believe in God. And God is upset with that. How can that be taken away? How can you take the Bible away from schools? Remember the old days that they even had the Bibles in hotels, in motels, in schools. They have removed the Bible. They have came up with some laws and a lot of things that they are putting into the children's brain. So then when they grow, they will not believe, you know, in Jesus. They will not believe that God exists, which is a shame. It is horrible. And that's what's happening in America. That's happening all over the place, my brothers and sisters and friends that are listening. It's sad. I mean, they're seeing that homosexuality It's they're seeing it so normal. Unbelievable. When the Word of God tells us that it's a sin. And so much more that we're seeing. We're seeing wars, right? We're seeing that any moment, any day, some crazy person is going to push the red button and then your bomb. I mean, the war is like a threat after a threat. And that is why Jesus is coming back. But Jesus is coming back for his people. And for his people that, hallelujah, that did stay in holiness and righteousness in this sinful world, but they decided to still continue to have their live their life like that, no matter the cost it was, no matter how hard it was, but they continue to live in righteousness and holiness and seeking the Lord and repenting. Amen. Find the Lord, run to the Lord before it's too late. And where you can be found, Jesus still can be found. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can still do it. But we don't have much of the time. We don't. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and it ends eternal life. Romans 6:22. So when you repent, you give your life to Jesus, the Lord sets you free. Hallelujah. And then you become a follower of God. Hallelujah. You sanctify, hallelujah, every day, you know, yourself. And the gift that you are going to have is an eternal life because that's who Jesus is. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah, Jesus, he gave his life for you and me at the cross. He shredded his blood for you and me at that cross so we could be saved, so we can make it to heaven because he's the door. He is the door to heaven. Why? Because he came here. He came here to die for you and me. He paid the price for you and me so we will not go to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Hallelujah. And repentance through the blood of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Hallelujah. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to receive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Ephesians 5:3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or thank you, Jesus.
Covetousness
must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Amen. Ephesians 5:3. Isaiah 35:8. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk one the way, even if they are fools. They shall not go astray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name. And my brothers and sisters, so we need to stay in holiness, okay? So the Lord is calling, hallelujah, for everyone, friends that will come to Jesus, hallelujah, and give their life to Jesus. You give your life to Jesus tonight, hallelujah, and you will practice and you will stay in holiness, okay? How would you stay in holiness? Seeking the Lord, praying to God, repenting, and reading the Word of God every day. Praise the living God. Praise your name, Jesus. and brothers and sisters, you know what that means. Hallelujah. So you stay in holiness, waiting for the Lord's return. And the revival is coming up. The revival is coming up. Psalms 85, verse 6. Would you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Oh, a lot of people are going to be rejoiced. Ooh, many people are going to see, hallelujah, the miracle of God. They're going to see, we're going to see with our own eyes, you know, people getting healed. You know what? Actually, the Lord is actually doing it. Listen to this. Jesus is visiting in dreams, visions, thousands of Muslims that are, they're experiencing this. Thousands of these people. Jesus is doing this because Christians, you know, they can't go there right now. They can't be there. You know, a couple of years ago, they were able to still do it, even though they were just taken to prison, you know, even though they would be persecuted and got killed. But right now, there's hardly like nobody there. So now Jesus is actually doing it. He's doing this. And he's doing this to, hallelujah, praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he's doing it to thousands, thousands of them. And there are thousands of testimonies that are happening. Also, he's doing it with the Asian people in so many different places. And this is happening now. And he's appearing to people. He's visiting people. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? God is doing this. Hallelujah. And people are starting to speak up. People are just starting to see, oh, the Lord Jesus visited me. The Lord, you know, I saw him in my dreams. I saw him in my, and he gave me a vision. Oh, he came to visit me. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. It's starting to happen, my brothers and sisters. It's starting to happen. Hallelujah. So this is happening now. He's appearing to people. In Afghanistan, there are many, many of them. They're coming to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. This is something that we need to get excited about. Praise your name, Jesus, because the Lord is doing it. Hallelujah. So prepare. Prepare because it's coming. Hallelujah. And there's an acceleration of things. There's acceleration of things because you know what? Because he's making actually time go faster and faster because he's coming. Because he's actually getting closer now. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, here in Chicago, my brothers and sisters, it's been happening like about 2 weeks ago. We've been having some changes of the weather. Changes of the weather. That's actually what is happening. 2 weeks ago, we had temperatures that dropped down from, we had temperatures in February, the last week of February, you know, about 60, 75, and we don't see that. I mean, January and February are the cool months of winter. You know, that's when we feel most of the winter here in Chicago. December, January, and February, and now we're having such a nice weather, you know. I was listening to this brother, Brandon, that he was actually saying there's going to be acceleration of time. There's going to be acceleration of the weather in Chicago and in Philadelphia. I think he mentioned that in one of his videos. And you know what, my brothers and sisters, that's what is happening, and he says that it's because of the birth of pain, also because of the, you know, Jesus' return, because he's coming, and he's accelerating the time. Praise the living God for that. Whew. I just want to get out of here, and I'm just waiting for the Lord to come so he can get us out of here. And that's why we've got to get ready. That's why the Lord wants us to stay in holiness and righteousness, seeking him, repenting, praise God. So that's what's happening. And then, and crazy temperatures, you know, from 60, 75 all the way down, poof, it dropped to 6, to 10 degrees. And we had a warning of a tornado the sirens went on for 10 to 15 minutes, and so it was crazy. Then went up to 40 again and went up to 50. So the weather here is up and down, up and down. It's crazy. And that's okay. That's okay. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. So we have to just be prepared for anything, my brothers and sisters. We got to be ready. Like they're talking about in April, about the eclipse, you know, that the sun, there's a hole in the sun, and many things that are happening. Haiti, we got to pray for Haiti. Oh, my goodness, Haiti, my brothers and sisters, it's in war right now. I mean, the bad people are taking control, and I believe what I heard is that I believe that they released 35,000 people from the prisons so they can join all together so they can take the country. We got to pray. We have to take Haiti to the Lord, pray for those people because, you know, that country, unfortunately, nobody's helping. Nobody's helping. No country is helping Haiti right now. Because it's like, you know how it is in this world? If you don't have nothing to give me, I can't help you. Haiti has almost nothing it doesn't have anything to give. So nobody's helping. So that's why we Christians, we have to pray. We got to pray for Haiti. Amen. We have to give Haiti, hallelujah, to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, yes, Lord Jesus, protect those people, Lord, the good people that are still in Haiti, Lord, protect them, Lord. And we pray, Lord God Almighty, for our revival there, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Pray, Father God, that you will send archangels, Lord, to fight for those people that are yours, Lord God Almighty. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will do something, Lord, that you will do miracles, that you will do something about that country, Lord Jesus. And we pray for the evil to be destroyed in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, 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 have mercy, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will protect, Lord Jesus, those that are yours, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Psalms 80, verse 19, restore us, Lord, God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord God Almighty. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord. Oh, Lord, we intercede, Lord Jesus, for Haiti, Lord, that those people that are yours, Lord, Lord Jesus, that they cried out to you, Lord God Almighty. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you, Lord Jesus, will forgive their sins and heal their land, Lord, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord. Amen. See, sometimes we don't understand, my brothers and sisters, why things are happening there. I heard that there was a lot of witchcraft there in Haiti, a lot, like a lot. And so God, you know, sometimes allowed things like this. He allows stuff like this to happen to do a cleanse. But my brothers and sisters, we also have to pray that God, hallelujah, will deliver his people from there. And whatever he needs to do, he knows best that he can do whatever his will is, hallelujah, because God knows best and God knows why things are happening like that. Now, God does not want, you know, all these evil people that are doing this. This is bad. This is horrible. Hallelujah. So draw near to God. And he will draw near to you, says the word of God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4, verse 8. Oh, Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. Oh, Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy, Lord. Habakkuk 3, verse 2. In wrath, remember mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, create in me a clean heart, oh, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalms 51, verse 10. Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Oh, praise the living God. Hallelujah. For anything that becomes visible is light. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Hallelujah. So the revival, hallelujah, it is coming. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so I am going to share, my brothers and sisters, so the dream that I had before I continue, because I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about Revelation. So the dream that I had, I am just, I see myself, right? I'm in the air. I'm just watching. And the place where I'm living, okay, the place where I live is Cook County, in Chicago. And so I'm observing. Then all of a sudden, I see this earthquake happening. The earth is shaking. It was shaking. And I did not feel anything because I was floating in the air, right? But I was able to see how bad it was shaking. That all the people from my town, they got out. They got out of their homes. And I see all these people like scared. They were just scared. They were looking and they were just grabbing her head and they were going, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. This is happening. This has never happened in Chicago. An earthquake. An earthquake. I can't believe we're going through an earthquake. And so they got out of their homes. Okay. And then earth was opening up. You know, it's like, you know, when the earthquake happens, my brothers and sisters, like there are lines, right, that they open up huge and big, wide open and deep, that if you fall into the deepness, you don't know where you're going to end up going, right? And it was earth was open up like a, you know, the tree, right? The tree has a root in on the bottom. And so the picture a root of that tree all over the earth. How the earth was opening up, just like that. And then I see that some people were about to fall. They were about to fall into while the earth was opening it up. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And I see my house, but nothing was happening to my house. Nothing was happening to my backyard. Okay? But then the Lord took me where I used to live. And I used to live like about, I would say like about two, 3 miles away from my home. And then I went to see the Lord, I got transported there, right? And I'm seeing the old house where I used to live, that the backyard, opening it up. And then I remember that we used to have a gazebo, and that gazebo was going down. It was going down. It was opening it up so huge and big. It was going down. And I remember that gazebo was big. It was very wide, you know, and big with my, I remember with my ex-husband, he went and just, we went and got that together someplace. I forgot the name of that state that we went to get that. But that gazebo was going bye-bye. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And it was happening there. So then I went back to my house where I'm living right now, and I'm like, you know, the Lord is protecting my house, the backyard, nothing was happening, but the neighbors, it was a disaster. It was just everywhere was chaos. People was running back and forth. They didn't even know where to run because the earth was opening it up. So they couldn't even run. They had to stand. They had to stand and just watch. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, the Lord is showing me the earthquake. I'm thinking, this is a dream. And I knew it was a dream. Isn't that something? I knew it was a dream. I'm like, the Lord is showing me. The Lord is showing me the earthquake. This is exactly how it's going to be. And I could not take it anymore because it was violent. It was bad. So I woke up. I woke up. And then I went back to sleep again. I fall asleep again. And I would remember before going back to sleep, I'm like, Lord, Lord. I remember just saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. Because I remember when that earthquake was happening, I was looking up. I was looking up to heaven. I was saying, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Because I was seeing all these people. They had no choice. They couldn't go. They couldn't go left. They couldn't go right. Because if they would have moved, they would fall into the deepest, into the deep. And I mean, in other words, my brothers and sisters, like when earth opened up, what do you think that you're going to go? All the way down there to hell. It was like huge. And it was starting to happening. So then I'm like, I can't believe that this is happening, that this is exactly what is going to happen, that I'm having this dream. Wow, thank you, Jesus. I was saying, thank you for giving me this dream, Lord. And then I woke up. And when I woke up, I went back to sleep, my brothers and sisters, and I see the rapture. I see the rapture happening. Oh, and before I go to the rapture, it was daytime. It was daytime when the earthquake was happening. It was daytime, and I saw people wearing summer clothes, okay? Me, I was able to feel the weather, that it was a nice weather. It was not hot, and it was not that. It was not cold. It was a nice feeling weather. So I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna be summer or spring or fall here in Chicago. I have no idea. I know that the weather, it was sunny. It was a sunny day. It was a sunny day, and people were wearing summer clothes. Now, usually here in Chicago, because we're so used to the cold, you know, people even wear shorts. People even wear shorts in spring. In spring, the weather could be, you know, 45, could be 50, could be 60, and people will wear shorts like that too because we're so used to this weather. You know, and I hear in Florida and other places, you have a weather that is 50, 55, you got to put sweatpants, you know, sweater, but not here in Chicago. It's so common here. You know, people are so used to it. Like for us, 60 degrees is actually warm. It is warm. Can you believe? Like sometimes, you know, we have 70 degrees and we have to turn the AC on because it's hot for us. So I don't know. So that's why I'm saying I don't know. But I know it was not winter because people were wearing shorts and T-shirts and the weather was pleasant. It wasn't too hot and it wasn't too cold. So I'm not going to go into so much of detail, but it was happening in the daytime. Then when I went back to sleep, I fall back to sleep, and I'm seeing the rapture happening, my brothers and sisters. You know, the people going up. And then I see the people going up. I'm like, oh, I'm waiting for my turn, right? So I'm waiting, and I was just a witness. I was just watching. And I'm like, oh, I want to see how they go up. And so people were going up, but here's the mystery, okay? Yeah, the body, my brothers and sisters, disappeared. The body disappeared. The clothes that were falling down from the sky, the clothes of from the people were falling down from the sky to the floor. And then I remember that I was with Isaac, my son. And I'm like, oh, Isaac, we're just about to go, son. We're about to go. And then I'm seeing my son disappearing. He was in my, you know, we were hugging each other. And then he's disappearing. And I'm like, oh, son, you're disappearing. Oh, son, you're disappearing. And then he's like, yeah, mom. And I said, can you see me? Can you see me? Yes, mom, I can see you, but I cannot see you. I can't see you. And then, okay. And then I was waiting for my turn, and that's when I woke up. It was awesome. It was awesome because it was a great feeling. And I just wanted it to see. Because, see, I asked the Lord a long time ago. I think it was a couple months ago. I said, Lord, could you please give me a dream about the rapture? I want to experience exactly how is it going to be. And then also, could you also, Lord, give me a dream about the earthquake that is going to happen here in Chicago? And I asked for those dreams a couple months ago. But see, but the Lord just gave it to me last Sunday. Hallelujah. So that is why, my brothers and sisters and friends that are listening, give your life to Jesus. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give your life to Jesus so he can save you. Because we're going to go here to Revelation. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar, Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so I'm going to talk, my brothers and sisters, about the people that are going to be left behind. I don't want nobody. Jesus does not want nobody to be left behind. But unfortunately, that is going to happen. Some people are going to be, a lot of people are going to be left behind, okay? In the rapture, yes, I saw many people going, but not a lot. I didn't see like a multitude. I just saw a lot going, but I didn't see a multitude of going in the rapture. So for those that are going to be left behind, okay, and you don't even know, but I know that you are asking God, and we all want to ask God, and also we got to go into prayer and repentance, staying holiness so we can make it, right? But let's say, and I hope not, I hope this will not be the case, okay, but let's say, you know, you don't make it. And I don't want to speak negative, but I have to let you know what you need to have. If you know, for the people that are going to be left behind, they're going to listen to this video, and hopefully, because the media is, everything is going to be turned off, for those people that are going to be left behind, okay, you got to have, get flashlights. Have flashlight. Please lose a lot of weight. And if you have troubles of losing weight, I had troubles too. My brother and sister, I was so skinny. I remember I was so skinny and I gained some pounds. And I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best to lose some pounds too. Okay? And I'm only doing it because we're going to go through events too. The bride is going to go through events too before the rapture happens. Okay? There are some things that we're going to go through. And I'm doing it because there are going to be some events that are going to happen. Yes, God is going to protect us. God is going to protect us, okay? Excuse me. God will protect his people. But let's say if you are in that moment, you know, you are disobeying, okay? So if you're disobeying God, remember, God is pleased when you are obeying him. But let's say if you're not obeying, okay? So you have to lose weight. Try your best to lose weight. Have candles ready. Have lighters, because, you know, if you buy one of those things to light up a candle that has, you know, oil, and you put oil inside and you have to light it up, you need to get, you know, you have to have lighters. You got to have food. Buy backpacks of food, please. Get backpacks with food and water, okay? Also get talking radios. I got all that stuff ready right now. I'm like, I think this is the time to get everything out. I got my talkie-talkies already out. I got my I got my backpacks already ready. I got some stuff that I'm going to need. I'm working on more things, you know, that the Lord is putting in my heart to do. So, and for those that are going to be left behind, Okay, you have to be ready. You gotta be ready with the things, emergency supplies. You gotta have emergency supplies. You gotta have blankets. You gotta have medicine. You gotta have all these things that I'm letting you know. You know, clothes nearby. Also in your car. You gotta have all this stuff ready. Because when chaos happens or when the rapture happens, you know, and we're gone, and those that are going to be left behind, if they're not ready, I don't know what is going to happen. But you're going to have, you know, then those people, they're going to go through suffering. So how do you avoid from being left behind? Seek the Lord daily, repent daily, stay in righteousness, and stay in holiness. You know, seek the Lord, pray, you know, fast, obey the Lord. Obedience is very important. It's one of the most important things, okay? Obedience is very up there. If you're not obeying the Lord, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. The Lord. And you know exactly what, you know, the things that you're doing that only you and God know. Take it to the Lord. Just say, be honest with the Lord. Lord, I can't overcome this sin, or I can't overcome this. Could you please help me? Help me with this and deliver me, Lord. Deliver me. Okay, now you have prayed about that. But then when the Lord is dealing with that, it's going to hurt you. You can't just, you know, avoid saying, why me? Why am I feeling this way? You can go through tough times, or you can go. You have to, because God is going to purify you. God is going to clean your heart. God is for order God to do that to you, you're going to feel pain. But it's not a, don't think that it's going to be like a cut, you know, like you're going to feel that cut in your physical body. It could be, let me give you an example. It could be that you are with the wrong person in your life, okay? He's going to take the person away from you. And it's, see, that's going to hurt you inside, right? But it's for your own good, okay? Let's say the God had put you, you know, to do a couple things, and you're living with someone, okay? And then you refuse to work out with that person, and you can't do it. You can't do it. Let's say that person is letting you know, hey, please, you know, help me with this, or could you, you know, you have a problem that you can't, you know, you can't admit your mistakes. You can't accept your mistakes, you know. You have to, you know, you have to admit your mistakes. You have to, like, things like that, okay? And then you were like, no. And then you struggle, and then you kick and turn, and you say, no, you know, I can't do that. God is going to test you. He's going to throw you to the test. He's going to throw you to the trial. He's going to throw you to the test. And you better pass it, whatever situation it is. I don't know what kind of situation it's going to be. I have no idea. Only you and God knows, okay? Pass it. Pass it, okay? Right now is the time to just do it, whatever the cost it is. We can't just only say to the Lord, Lord, I want to obey you, Lord. I love you. Well, yeah, but God is going to do something for you to do that. And so God is going to do that. And then when he do that, the person goes through pain. And that's how we learn. That's how God changes us. There's a process. But there's an acceleration right now of time. There's an acceleration of time right now. So you better get yourself straight and good with God, okay? And staying in, you know, righteousness and repenting, and whatever the Lord wants you to obey, obey. It could be through your husband, could be through your boyfriend, could be through your friend, it could be to your grandma, your grandpa, your parents, anyone. Maybe, you know, God wants you to submit, but you still haven't overcome that. You have trouble submitting. I'm just throwing examples. Okay? And you have troubles with that. You can't submit to so-and-so, to whoever. And so that is called obedience. When you submit to this person, and it will not even bother you, okay? Going through that submission, right there, just one simple. You have passed the test, and God has delivered you from that. And that is the change. That is the change. But some other people has it, you know, like people might say, oh, that is so easy for me. I can do that. Okay? What is hard for me is this is to do this. It's to do something else. It is so hard for me. I can't do that. So whatever hard it is for you to accomplish, whatever difficult it is for you to process, that is what the Lord is going to touch. Because that's the change that you need. God is not going to give you something easy. He's going to challenge you. God is not going to do something that, okay, well, it is easy for you to submit. So let's just try submission then. No, because there's no change. If he does that, you know, how are you going to change? It's going to be easy. A piece of cake for you. He's going to deal with the things that you have never overcome, that you have had difficult to overcome, that you in your mind have said, I can't do it. You know, I can't overcome this sin, or I can't overcome this problem. I got troubles. I got problems. He is going to deal with that. And he's just watching. He's going to. You have asked for it. You have asked for it. When you ask the Lord, Lord, help in this area, but then don't cry later and say, oh, I can't do it. No. But why is it that I'm not so special to you? Like, why is it? Why am I going through this? We can't say that because the Lord does not like that. I'm telling you from my own experience. The Lord likes positive words. The Lord, even if we go through pain, Lord, help me. Yes, it is hard, Lord. But I still love you, Jesus. I love you more than ever, Lord. Ooh, I love you, Lord. This is hard. This is difficult. But I, Lord Jesus, I'm actually going to bring more souls to you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray. I'm going to just give the gospel even more. I'm actually just going to give it hard to the enemy, Lord, because my love for you have become even more stronger, Lord, through this pain. Lord, I love you. I love you so much, Lord. I'm so thankful, Lord. I am so happy, and I'm so thankful that you have let me go through this sorrow of pain because, Lord, have made me humble, has made me learn. And this was my area that I couldn't process. I couldn't overcome it. I couldn't do it, but now you are actually doing it. It hurts, but that's okay, Lord. I needed it, and I asked for it. I just want to ask my Lord, if you could please give me a strength to overcome this. Just give me your peace and give me your strength, Lord. Be sincere with God. Speak to him, but very respectful, you know, in an honor way, and respectful, and be grateful, because if you don't do it, it's for your own good. You don't do it, you're not going to be delivered. You're not going to pass that test. And how would you change then? How would you change? What if God has put that person to you, for you know, has placed a person for you to overcome what you can't overcome? And then, you have fought all of your life like that. You have fought, and you're like, no, I can't take this no more. No, you know what? I just can't live with this person anymore. I can't, it's horrible, and blah, 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 and I can't take it. It's too much stress. It's too much of this. But how come you have not, you have not overcome that? So that is the obedience that I'm talking about. When you overcome that and you just let yourself go, you just like, you know, that's it. I'm just giving this to the Lord. I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm not going to even argue back. Forget it. I mean, the rapture is about to happen. I don't want to be in this situation like this. I just want to be right with the Lord. That is when the deliverance will happen. The deliverance will happen. Hello, church. Hello, church. That is when the deliverance will happen. You want to make it to a rapture, right? You want to go to a rapture. So then do it. Do it. It is here on earth that we have to do it. If we can't do it here, the Lord wants to be with his people. He's coming for his bride, for a holy bride. A bride that, you know, that did seek the Lord, that prayed, and that no matter what she was going through, she thanked the Lord. And she obeyed the Lord with whatever test, circumstances that it was placed on earth through people or through someone or anyone or anything, accomplished that, and she actually did it because the love for Jesus was bigger than that. So when you let that go and you say, that's okay, enough is enough, I'm done, I'm just going to do it. Whatever situation the Lord has placed you, whatever situation you are going to, whatever situation the Lord has allowed to happen, so then you can overcome that. See, the Lord gave many chances to people, many chances. We can't say, Lord, but you'd never show me. But why you didn't do it? No, the Lord have given us many chances. Many. Anyone that is going to go, you know, or on the judgment day, we cannot give an excuse. There's no excuse. Because the Lord, he gives chances so many times to people. But then there's time when he says enough is enough. Jesus is coming for his church. He's coming for his people. I saw the rapture. It's so breathtaking. Okay. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's a great feeling going up. It's such a great feeling. And also you knowing too. Because when the rapture is happening, you know inside of you, you know if you're going to make it or you're not going to make it. Because you start thinking. When the rapture is taking place, you will start thinking. Either you're going to say, oh, I was not ready. Oh, I was doing this. Oh, I was saying this. Oh, no. But it's happening now. Oh, no. And I was not right with him. You see? Or you're going to say, I am ready, Lord. I've been waiting for this all my life. Oh, I am so ready. So may the Lord find us, my brothers and sisters, ready. Ready. And that is why we can't let our guard down. We have to always be ready. Always be ready. okay, at all times, at all times. But you do have to get prepared too. You got to be prepared too. You got to have some stuff ready right now. Before and after the rapture, you got to have food, you got to have water, you have to have talking radios, you got to have everything that I have mentioned in that, everything that we have mentioned here in the Lord's Hour, emergency supplies, emergency stuff for you to be ready, because there are some things that are going to happen, okay? They're talking about the sun in April, the eclipse. You know, we're so close to a war. You know, we're getting cyber attacks. First, remember when they were sending the signal to the cell phones, giving us a warning, okay? And then we got the last year, all right? And it's just one thing after another. And then AT&T cyber attack, okay? And then now Facebook, I think it went down too. It was attacked, cyber attack. And then it's going to be the media. And then it's going to be, what is going to be next? Power outage? We got to be ready for that. We got to be prepared for all those things. So the rapture, friends that are listening, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it explains on the Bible, okay? Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. So we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and that's what I was talking about when I was talking about the rapture. And Jesus is reminding me here to give quotes on biblical verses for the friends, for the friends that are listening in the Lord's hour. Matthew 24:29-31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaking. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Then Revelation 1:7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who curse him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of the man, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah. So we got to be prepared. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24:44. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Proverbs 6:6-8, go to the end, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gather her food in harvest. And this is what the Lord has been asking us. We be sluggard. We can't be lazy, okay? So God has been warning us. God has been telling us, and he's been telling us all these days, all these years, to get ready and to prepare, okay, for whatever is coming. So that's why we need to stock up, you know, food and water, and be prepared with anything else, emergency supplies, anything else, okay, with everything else. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. And now Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, okay, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So we're doing all this through faith, and we have to obey the Lord, because otherwise, we don't do it, you know, we're going to perish. So we do need to, hallelujah, obey the Lord. So, hallelujah, so he can protect us. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Okay. And Proverbs 22, verse 3. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go and suffer for it. So this is what the Lord wants us to do, and we need, out of obedience, we need to do it, okay? Then who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Also tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, okay? So stay vigilant, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be ready for the rapture. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, touch your people tonight and deliver your people from their sins, from gluttony, from disobedience, from anything, Lord, that you're not pleased. Lord, deliver your people tonight, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, I pray for those friends that are listening to come to you, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Protect us, Lord. Anoint your homes with oil, your doors, your windows, outside and inside of your homes. Do that. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will send, Lord, I pray that you'll send archangels, that you will send angels, Lord Jesus, to protect your people, Lord, for what is coming, Lord. Excuse me. Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord Jesus, to stay rapture ready, Lord, at all times. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will, Lord Jesus, provide for your people, for what they need. That it will be giving, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that are in need, that they don't have, Lord Jesus, so much because of the economy right now. I pray, Lord Jesus, to provide for them, Lord God Almighty. Yes, Lord. Lord, I pray for Israel, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, Lord. Help Israel, Lord Jesus, with her enemies, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the peace of Israel, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, for America, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. I pray that you will clean, Lord Jesus, this country, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God Almighty. Lord, this wall is falling apart. We pray for our families to be protected. We pray, God Almighty, that you will put a fence of fire around our families, our children, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, thank you so much for doing all of this, Lord. Thank you for keeping us, Lord Jesus, right here, Lord, with you. Help us to stay on the right track and to continue to stay here with you, Lord. Continue to help us, Lord Jesus, with the things, Lord, that they're not pleasing you. Remove that from us, Lord. And help us. And then when that happens, Lord Jesus, you let them know. Let them know. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Because what the Lord does, there's nothing to be afraid. He does it. Hallelujah. So you can be with him. Doesn't matter. Whatever it takes. But you want to be with the Lord. You want to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. So remember this. Whatever it takes. Say, Lord, but I want to be with you. I don't want to be here left behind. I want to be with you in paradise when you come and take us home, Lord. So do what you got to do. I remember letting the Lord know a couple years ago, many years ago when he told me right in my face, you're not my bride. Oh, that hurt me, that crushed me so much. And I cried in tears. And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm not your bride? But why? And it took weeks and weeks for the Lord to respond me back. I remember, I think it was about 3 months, because I went through a lot of repentance. And the Lord revealed to me. He was revealing to me the sin that I was doing. And I stopped. I stopped and I said, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. And you know the future, Lord. I remember saying this to the Lord. You know the future. You can see me before the rapture happens. And I said, Lord, I give you, Lord Jesus, authority over my life. I said to him, and you know the future. You see me. You can see me. I said to him, if I'm going to make it or not. But Lord God Almighty, I said, remove me from whatever is not pleasing. Whatever is not of you, anything that is not pleasing to you at that moment, take it away from me, I said. And it will not matter how much pain I get as long as I am with you in third heaven for eternity, Lord. Because I do not want to miss you, Lord, for nobody or for nothing or for whatever I am doing or saying, Lord. Have mercy, please, Lord. I remember begging, Lord, please. Do it, Jesus. I said, do it. Do it, Lord. And I have gone through pain. I went through pain like you have no idea, and I don't regret it. Because then he told me, you will be raptured. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, promise me. Promise me, Lord, that you will take me. Promise me, you and my family, my kids, Lord, that you will take us. But no, Yes, he did. He said it to me. But then my children, they had to do their part too. And then when they did their part, then the Lord said, yes, he will take us with a promise. But we had to go through a couple things, many things. And he said, yes, I will take you. And that was done with a promise. And the Lord will never break a promise. So now here at night, at this hour, tonight, I'm asking you, I'm letting you know, What is it that is keeping you away from the Lord? What sin are you doing that God is not happy with you? And you already know. No. You don't have to tell me. I'm nobody. You let the Lord know. You let him know, because he's the one who forgives and he's the one who's going to change you. I'm just a servant of the Lord letting you know. I'm just giving you the message. And through my testimony, through my experience, if you want to go in the rapture and if you want to be with the Lord for eternity, you say, Lord, doesn't matter, whatever it takes. And whatever pain it is, how hard it is, whatever it is, I would take it, Lord, because I do not want to be left behind, and I do not want to miss you for nobody, for anything, and nobody, Lord. You know my future. You know, you see it, Lord. So, Lord, even if it's a second before the rapture, oh, Lord, whatever I'm doing that is not pleasing you, tell him, make me stop, like, move me, Lord. Depart me, like, take me away from whatever I'm going to say, whatever I'm going to do, whatever I'm doing at that moment, whatever I'm saying at that moment. Lord, I give you permission, because the Lord is so polite and he's such a gentleman that I had to let him know, Lord, I give you whole permission and authority, Lord, over me, Lord Jesus Christ, that you, Lord, will stop me from whatever I'm saying or doing or wrong or whatever it is that only you know. So I can make it in the millennium second so I could make it in the rapture. And so the Lord, hallelujah. He had me go through many days or many weeks. To repentance for what I was doing. Hallelujah. But then the Lord came and told me, yes, you're ready. I don't know how many days or how many weeks or how many months. I don't even know how many more days we got left. I have no idea. But for the Lord, one day or 1 week or 3 months, you know, the Lord, the time for the Lord is different. So let the Lord, hallelujah, do the miracle in your life. Let the Lord, hallelujah, take control of your life. Say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Not my will. No. Your will, Jesus. Your will. Let your will, Lord Jesus, be done in my life. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Tell him, work in my life. Change my life. I want to be your bride. I want to be your bride, and I want to make it in the rapture. I want you to take me. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And my brothers and sisters, stay rapture ready. Stay rapture ready. Hallelujah. Because the King, hallelujah, the King is coming back. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. May God bless you, my brothers and sisters. And stay rapture ready. Keep looking up, because the King is coming back. Hallelujah. May God give you his shalom. May God give you his peace and all the glory and the honor to you, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking control. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father God. To you be the glory and the honor, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Until next time, and stay watchful, and stay, hallelujah, always on guard. Keep your lamps up, lamps on with oil, meaning seeking the Lord, hallelujah, staying in repentance and staying there in prayer with the Lord, hallelujah, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. May God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Shalom, shalom.
Hey, good morning, family. How y'all doing today? I'm going to deliver a pretty heavy word today. I hope y'all are ready for this. I know I haven't been on much. I've been praying about this. You know, as a watchman, it's not always easy to come out and tell you all some of the things that I see. But it's my job, and I'm going to tell you what I see. And I prayed over this one for quite a while before I'm going to deliver this because of how heavy this word is. I just feel like I should pray before I start because I want you to receive this because it is a warning. It is a very stern warning about things. And I was taken back by it. So let's just pray real quick and we'll get right into it. Father, I thank you that you speak through my vocal cords and you think through my mind. I ask you for none of me and all of you. Every word that I say, Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help me to deliver it to your people. That, Father, that this would minister to them, that they would take it as the warning that you've given me about the end times and where we are. And that, Father, that they would take it to you in prayer. And that they would meditate on the word, and they won't get in fear. They will meditate on the word, and they will understand who they are in Christ. And Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here comes the word. This is the urgency of what the Lord showed me. So here it was. I'm praying. I put my prayer shawl on. It went into deep intercession, and all of a sudden, just like the Lord opens my eyes in the spirit realm, I was taken over, and I saw a meeting. Now, I'm going to have to be very, very careful how I deliver this because of the things that I saw. Now, this is the way I'm going to just say it like this. I'm going to deliver this, but I want you all to read in between the lines as much as possible. Just because and people will go, why are you going to protect your family? Because things that I see could jeopardize me and put me in danger. Okay? So let's just use a little wisdom here, you know? So I'm going to say it like this. I was taken up in the spirit and I saw a meeting. And they were contemplating the next virus. Okay? They were in a room, and I could see these heads of these leaders, and that's where I'll leave that. I won't say who I saw, doesn't matter. But they were negotiating, and the obesity epidemic across the world has reached heights beyond anybody's comprehension on purpose. Remember whenever I told you all I saw the 350 million people perish? 350 million would go home. But I didn't know. I thought it was going to be a kind of like a COVID thing. Well, okay. Oh, God, help me here. I saw a laboratory. I saw AI. AI, computer technology and AI was creating a super virus. They were using the AI to create something more dangerous in the end times than what COVID was. I could see DNA strands running like computers, like computer code. And COVID, there was lines. There were lines. Now, I'm not a smart person about this kind of stuff, y'all. I'm just telling you what I see. I saw DNA lines. But COVID was clear over here. Like, it was barely even used in this new strand. Okay? Help me, Holy Spirit. It was all over here, right? And went in like these lines. And they were taking the lines from high blood pressure medicine, diabetes medicine, and they were splicing it into this virus. okay? Spanning off of obesity. It was being perfected, okay? Skinny people, people who were not overweight, that took care of themselves, ate right, maintained a good BMI, were safe, okay? They had immunities inside of them somehow to be able to sustain their body to not perish. But people who were on, and this is what I'm saying, no fear, diabetic medicine, high blood pressure medicine, high cholesterol medicines, things like that, were targets. And because of this, they were, if you were real heavy, you were a target, is what I'm going to say, throughout the whole world. And I heard them say, obesity is a drain on our economy. It's a drain on society. Therefore, we must eliminate this. Okay? And I saw a plan to eliminate, and I'm going to be very careful, genocide, ethnic cleansing, a group of people. A group of people. Does that make sense? I hope I'm making sense. It's a group of people. Because the healthcare system is too much. And I'm going to put a clip in right here that's going to show you exactly what I saw. How much money, because of the obesity epidemic, because of this, how much is costing on the healthcare system.
The number of morbidly obese across the United States has skyrocketed to over 30% in the last 20 years. Not only that, but what is obesity costing you and me, the taxpayer? Well, if you break down the cost and compare them to other taxpayer expenditures, you can see it adds up really quickly. To fly our president for 1 year in Air Force One cost us $500 million. All costs associated with illegal aliens in California alone cost taxpayers $9 billion a year. If you add up the money spent on the No Child Left Behind policy, it's a staggering $23 billion a year. And all costs associated with drunk driving, a whopping $24 billion a year. So how does obesity stand up to these numbers? Well, when you add up increased insurance costs, loss of work due to obesity conditions, increased Medicare and Medicaid costs, it comes to $80 billion a year. That's more than all of those other programs combined.
So now I saw this. I saw Satan, and he was the head of the meeting that I told you all that was happening. And I saw a V. I saw a V like this, okay? That was like a number 5 in the Roman numerals, like a V, okay? And at the first, there were each pillar, and it went 7. And I saw 7 deadly sins. 7 deadly sins. And I'm not familiar with this because I didn't realize this came from the Catholic Church. Okay? This is what I'm doing research because I'm trying to study this out. You know, before I present it to you, I don't look, I'm like, Lord, this is deep. But it went like this. And there was 2 pillars. 5 were all together. They were the ones that were like, you know, the things that really people like, anger, lust, rape, those things like that. I know the things that the Lord hates, you know, and I'm sorry I'll butcher it. I don't have the verse in front of me, but these things the Lord hates. A lying spirit, quick to shed innocent blood, all those things, right? There were 7. The 5 went like this, and 2 were right here, and it was slothfulness, and gluttony. Things that were not as upfront as the other sins, what I want to say, they were back here. And so when I'm seeing it in the spirit, I see light shining on the 5. But the devil pushed the 2, these right here, gluttony and slothfulness to the front. And he was talking about it to them, about exposing these two. Because they were not as bright as what it was trying to be lit up as these two, slothfulness and obesity. So, a gluttony. And so, I was watching how this was all panning out in front of me, okay? And so he was pushing it to the front to call it. And then I saw him petitioning the Father because of grace. And he had a grace over what we would consider people just kind of just like, it's not been a big deal, but there's a lot of people that are heavy in the body of Christ. Very heavy. And he was calling forth all the scriptures, throwing them at the Father. I could hear him calling forth judgment over obesity, saying this is an open door from seed time and harvest. And I'm calling, it was like he was petitioning the open door for judgment concerning this. Does that make sense? I'm trying so hard to do this. Father, I thank you that you're helping me. He was calling forth judgment because it was like it was in the shadows. Over here, gluttony and slothfulness. I'm a watchman, and I'm here to tell you all there's a plan for the enemy to come in, and they're designing something to wipe people out. I'm just being real with y'all. And it's crazy. The things I saw. This is something else I thought was interesting. I was seeing them use bumblebees for whatever it was. And these scientists were using bumblebees, and they were taking the bumblebees and they were doing something with the bumblebees. Queen bees. They were big bees. Big, big bees. Not little bitty baby bees, but big queen bees. And they were trying to figure out how to genetically alter the bumblebee. Okay? Very strange. And I don't know. I'm still praying over this, some of this stuff. But this is just some of the things that the Lord showed me in the laboratory with the genetic code using AI for this new thing. And I'm telling you all, this will line up with the end time, the pale face rider. There's something serious about this. And the Lord kept saying to me, after I cried out for mercy, he gave me more time. And he was telling me, Brandon, get the weight off. So I have had a mandate by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you all, just being real with you, to do whatever it takes to get this weight off and to keep it off. And I'm telling you all, just out of love, it's not to point fingers at anybody and say your sin or whatever. I call out for grace. Call out, Father, grace. Forgive me, Father. Help me. Help me to get the weight off. Help me to take care of my body. Help me. I don't want to have food addictions anymore. I don't want to be bound by food. And, you know, I have to reprogram my whole mind here. Because in my mind, the value meal at a Burger King or whatever, McDonald's or whatever, is the standard. Well, that's what you have in there, how many calories it is. And I had to ask myself the question, what is right for a portion? How much should a man eat? Because I don't know. I'm having to educate myself. And it's sad because I'm 43 years old and I have no clue. And I had to go, what is a good portion size of meat? 6 ounces, as most of the people say, is 6 ounces of meat a day, and eat lots of vegetables and greens. Then you have other people that say you can eat all the meat you want and carnivore and all this other stuff. And I'm like, but what's good for me? What's going to do? Because this is serious. Okay, when I'm seeing all this stuff going on in the spirit realm, and I've been very hesitant to talk about this, how do you help people? Because they say the average diet is 2,000 calories. So, a day is what you should eat. But you got to eat a lot less than that. So I started figuring up. I got that calorie app. My son's using my phone to film me. But I had that calorie app, and I was adding up how many calories I was eating every day. And you would freak out if you knew how many calories I was eating. I was eating a lot. And just being real. And I was eating a ton of calories every day. And that's how I got to be over 300 pounds. But I started looking at, you know, and just really going through things and look at the nutrition of what I'm eating, how much I'm eating, and really trying to make this a lifestyle. Because I'm telling you, it's mandated by the Spirit of God. It's not just me now. It's the Lord, and he's like this. You're out of time for what's coming. You're out of time for what's coming. And I was like, what's coming? What is the urgency? I've been heavy all my life. What's the deal, Lord? Why I feel so much spiritual pressure over this? But I had no idea what was going on with the bad guys. Just saying, the bad guys, they're crazy. These people are crazy. Just like Hitler was. He's crazy. You know? It's crazy. They just fool the devil. But they have a mandate to lower the cost of healthcare, to lower the cost of all this stuff. I'm just telling y'all, just trying to warn y'all, and I'm trying to freak y'all out and trying not to put no fear. If you want to say he's not, you want to put me on a shelf, whatever, but at least I say I told y'all so when it happens. I'm just telling y'all, we're in a time like we've never seen before, and we're in the end of the end. Jesus is coming, and the dark's getting darker, and it's going to keep getting darker, but the light's going to get lighter. Jesus is in us, and we have nothing to fear. I'm believing God for supernatural healing for every single one of you, that you'll be delivered from obesity and whatever these pills or whatever they're trying to spice with this thing and all the demonic, all this stuff with this AI stuff. I'm telling you, it's dark, darker than what people realize, because I saw into it and it's satanic beyond anybody's comprehension for what they have planned. Trying to use this stuff, this new computer stuff, and it's heavy. Some of the things the Lord's showing me, and so I just want to encourage you. Don't give up. Get this weight off. Take care of your bodies, because some of you it will be life and death. It really will. I'm just telling y'all, it's a very serious time. We are not to fear what they do, because Psalms 91 and Psalms 23. But when the Lord petitions me, even as a man, you get that weight down. You get 100 pounds off right now. You do it as quickly as possible. Get 100 pounds off. I told you over this year. I saw going into 2025, and I told you it's dark. Now, do we change things? Can we change things? Can we stop any of this? I believe we can. I believe we have a power and authority over to do a lot of things. But I'm telling you all, it doesn't give us the right to still not take care of our temples. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he dwells on the inside of us. And he has told me, you're to get the 100 pounds off. And I probably end up getting rid of more. I don't want to call losing, because I don't want to find it ever again. I want to make this a lifestyle for me and my family. And that's where I'm telling you all, I'm down to 35. And my goal for next month, for month of March, is another 20 to 30 pounds. I'm believing God for it. And that before my birthday, before all of that, I'm going to be the healthiest and skinniest I've ever been for my heart. Riding my bike. I've been riding my bike, eating right and doing right. And just taking care of this temple. And knowing that God has a plan for my life. My blood pressure is perfect. Everything's better than it's been in years. Even just with the 35 pounds. I told my wife, I said, I'm very excited to see what I do with myself in the next 30. That'd be 60-some pounds. So I'm just saying, I hope this encourages you all to take care of yourself. It's kind of like it's the hidden thing, like I was talking to you all about. Just kind of let the weight go, being slothful, whatever. But the devil's legalistic. He is a legalistic piece of crap. The devil is. And he is smart about things. And he knows the Bible better than you and I both put together know it. He's not a spirit. He's not a Holy Ghost feel like us. We're led by the Spirit of God. But he memorized it. He knows the word, I'm telling you. Because I could hear him, and he was quoting all the gluttony scriptures. And he knew them. And I thought, isn't that interesting? I was froze in my tracks when I was listening over and what was going on. I just froze. And I was listening over and I could hear it. And I thought, what is he petitioning? What is going on? What do you let me hear, Lord? And I just said, hold on a minute. And he was fishing for me because I was obese. And I thought, what? What? Hold on, hold on. Grace, grace, grace. Hold on, grace. Have mercy on me. Hold on, hold on. I plead the blood. I take communion. I do all this. Whatever I got to do, God, forgive me, forgive me. He's opened a door. He's opened the door. He seed time and harvest has to see, because grace has kept it from happening. And I told you all this. Seed time and harvest is going to accelerate beyond anything you can comprehend in these last days. More so than if people are sowing, you think, well, they're getting away with it. No, 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 no. Seed time and harvest is going to, it's good. The sower and the reaper are going to go hand in hand in any area of your life. Physically, spiritually, financially, it's going to accelerate. Seed time and harvest. And that's what it was about obesity. That's what it is about a lot of things. And it's the acceleration of seed time and harvest. Why? I have no idea. I'm still praying about this stuff. You could pray too. You know what? I come on here and I tell you the bits and pieces. But I feel it's an urgency and I don't feel like it's fair for me to hold things back and not tell you all. As a watchman, if you have an urgency inside of yourself to get the weight off, you may think, well, he's totally full of it. Whatever, but I'm trying to help you. Get the weight off. Take care of your bodies. Exercise. Eat right. Okay? So that's what I have for y'all today. I hope, like I said, you do with what you want to. But so, Father, I just thank you for every single person that is represented here listening to this video. I thank you, Father, that it doesn't bring fear to people, but it brings an urgency to take care of their temple. I thank you, Father, that they have wisdom and revelation knowledge, that they have an understanding of who they are in Christ, and the devil is meant to kill, steal, and destroy. But you said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And so, Father, I thank you, Father, right now that we have the spirit of self-control on the inside of us. We have self-control. We don't have to eat for comfort anymore. Father, we break the spirit of addiction to junk food in the name of Jesus. We take authority over pastas. And Father, that our bodies will have self-control concerning sweets and cookies and cakes, candies, whatever. Cokes. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we get the weight off and we keep it off and we're a fit, trim body for you to live in. Father, I thank you, Lord, that all the underlying conditions from obesity, from high blood pressure to high blood sugars to cholesterol to all kinds of things. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we get those things under control, and every single one of these people will be off of those meds and not have to take those anymore. Father, I take authority over the demonic spirits that would try to cause havoc in our lives concerning eating disorders. And we command it in the name of Jesus to be broken off of us. And we thank you, Lord, that we're free. For you said, for whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I thank you, Lord, for that spirit of self-control. We take it, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, we ask you, rise up on the inside of us. Give us wisdom and revelation concerning what to eat, how to eat, and how much to eat on a day-to-day basis. The Father, that we reprogram our minds to think like you think. And we take authority. We crucify our flesh daily and not just every once in a while. And we tell it to get under our feet. Flesh, you're under our feet. We have dominion and authority over you. And we command our mind and even the dopamines and the hormones of our minds to line up with the Word of God. That we take care, we take authority, we take our word, and we the word of the Lord, and we meditate on the word, that we have the spirit of self-control. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we have a sound mind concerning food, and we exercise and we take care of our flesh in the name of Jesus. And I pray for every single one of you that you're still watching. I pray blessing over your bodies. I pray blessing and healing over your bodies right now in the name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you're healed and whole and well in the name of Jesus. And I call you delivered from addictions. I call you delivered from all kinds of, from drugs to alcohols to lust to pornographies to whatever it may be. You can be free. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you don't have to be bound by sickness and disease anymore. Jesus paid the price for you to walk in deliverance and freedom in the name of Jesus. And you don't have to be bound by the devil. We call for freedom in the name of Jesus from anger issues. We thank you, Lord, that you're setting them free right now. We thank you, Lord, and we call grace, grace, grace. Grace, Lord. Thank you. Something we don't earn and something we don't deserve. But, Father, it's a gift. And we take a hold of that grace today. And we call for mercy today, God. Mercy. Mercy, 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 Lord. Your mercy. Well, I just want to say thank you all for being a part of this video today. I don't have my pillows or my bell. But, oh, here's my bell. If you could, click that notification bell. It really would bless us. I just want to tell you all thank you for liking, subscribing, for being a part of this channel. It's getting the gospel out throughout the whole world. We're warning the people. We're warning the people of what the devil's tactics and what he's trying to do. And we're getting people saved. We're getting people delivered. We're getting people set free from the power of the devil. He is a defeated foe. And Jesus lives on the inside of you. And we don't have to have it. But I'm telling y'all, people need to know that. And I believe that the Lord's called me to tell people that Jesus is coming. He told me, go on there. A year ago this next week, he said, go on there and tell my people that I'm coming. I said, Lord, don't they know? He said, no, my people are not looking for my return. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, ladies and gentlemen. And he's coming soon. And I'm telling you, we need to be looking for him every day. Jesus loves you all. And I'm just telling you, well, put a smile on your face and a song in your heart. Jesus loves you so much, and we love you. And we will see you all next time. Y'all have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube and Rumble channels. Today is March the 6th of 2024, and I'd like to share another word with you from the Lord today. Just a reminder, for those of you who would like a printed copy of this word, please go to my website, scroll down the first page, and click on the upper right-hand corner of the word posted there, and you will have access to a downloadable, printable PDF. If you would like to review past words given, please go to the archives. My website address is in the description box below. I hope everyone is doing well and looking forward to the spring ahead of us and all that spring represents: new birth, sunshine, warmth, a display of God's splendor once again in the return of birds and animals. In the word I'd like to share with you today, the Lord is addressing the newness of springtime, the opportunity for new beginnings. And the Lord would like to encourage all of us that though we have been under attack by the enemy, that the Lord has broken through for us, and that he is bringing into fulfillment his plan to bless his people and to prepare us for his rulership upon the earth. In this word today, the Lord encourages us that we will begin to see the manifestation of his goodness in ways we have not yet seen. I hope this word will bless you today as you hear it. This word is titled, The New Beginning. I'll begin by reading scripture. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This scripture verse from Revelation describes the fight between good and evil, the attacks upon those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by the enemy who wants to snuff out the offspring of the Lord and to snuff out the offspring to which the blessings of God belong. Psalm 92, verses 9 through 11. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. This scripture passage from the book of Psalm is a praise that David is giving to the Lord, declaring that the enemies of God will be defeated, that the workers of iniquity will be no more, that the Lord will fulfill David's desire for his enemies to be destroyed and for a refreshing to come to him. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This scripture verse as well speaks of a refreshing coming from the Lord. I'll begin reading this word. I am designing, altering, putting together criteria, says the Lord. Transformation is taking place. I am lifting you up and setting you high upon the rock of Christ, high above the behavior of others, high above their jurisdiction, their claims upon you. Regarding financial activity, I am in control, says the Lord. So do not fear the idle threats of men. I am able to harness resources and direct them into affairs of my choice. So expect that the endeavors I lead you into will be provided for. There will be no lack, no lackluster, for I am prompting those of my choice to help you, to back you, support you, and you shall prosper in this day. Hallelujah. Amen. Sing hallelujah. Joyful, joyful praise unto the Lord, for he has conquered and he will reign with equity. Rejoice and be glad that I have entered into your life, your situation, that I have defeated the foe that wars against my elect. I have destroyed the work of the enemy, put to nothing his schemes, says the Lord. I have brought salvation to your house. Your offspring shall be blessed in the land that I am giving them. They shall be raised up. They shall be given grace, great grace, and they shall move unhindered into the positions of leadership I have ordained for them. I am on the move to bridge gaps and break down barriers that have separated my people. I will make for myself a great nation, calling in from the north, south, east, and west. They shall come together from the ends of the earth, from all tribes and tongues. I have anointed and appointed these to do my bidding in the earth. Behold, I come quickly, says the Lord, to make all things new. Never again will the enemy harass my chosen ones. I will protect and give counsel. I will heal and bring peace to my servants. I will show to you my love when I make all things new. So rejoice in what my hand has accomplished. Rejoice in the turnaround of events, in the new beginning. I have made myself clear to the erring. I have persuaded them of my counsel, of my judgment, of my power to change, to raise up, to confirm testimony of my love. You will see the changes shortly and recognize that I have wrought them. You will understand that I am a jealous God, that I have a passion for my chosen ones that cannot be quenched. I will demonstrate my love to you, says the Lord, my everlasting covenant of grace to you and your seed after you. I will perform my will. I will alter events, turn them around for gain. So be ready to experience a fresh new flow of my spirit to rekindle the flame once again. You will see great and marvelous things as you have not seen. You will see that I am for you, that I am against the offender, but for the upright. I will fulfill my promises to you, renewing my covenant with you. A fresh new anointing is being poured out. Be revitalized in it. It will take you on into liberty. I have overcome the fowler, says the Lord, put to nothing his plans to defile you. You will shine forth as gold, for I have surely purified you. You have come through the fire and shall stand unharmed. There is no resistance to my word. It will go forth to perform what I send it out to do. I have given you equipment. Use it to call in the harvest. Employ giftings to usher in the millennial rule of Christ, and showers of blessing shall fall continually. Rejoice, be glad. Give unto God the honor due his name. Magnify the Lord. Exalt his name. Declare his praise. Sing it forth. Testify of his good works. Tell of his greatness and of his power. In this word today, the Lord is encouraging us that a new day has dawned, that there is a new beginning. And in this word, the Lord refers to it as the new beginning, a special time in history that he has appointed to demonstrate his love to his people. He is telling us that he is pouring out a new anointing upon us that will refresh us and rekindle his fire within us. The battle has been raging. The enemy has been attacking the people of God, doing everything that he can to trample them, to discourage them, and to defeat them. But the Lord is telling us in this word today that he is lifting us up high above the enemy's claims upon our lives. The Lord has conquered, and he will reign and rule with equity. He has destroyed the work of the enemy, and we are about to experience the greatness of his blessings upon our lives. the Lord is telling us we will see these changes shortly, a turnaround of events in this time of the new beginning. In this word today, the Lord mentions the ushering in of his millennial rule upon the earth. Is this the time we are living in? Are we about to experience the return of Christ and the setting up of his kingdom in its fullness in the earth? Will we see his promises fulfilled in this day? Will we see the end to the war against God's elect and be able to declare, just as David did, the greatness of God to destroy all of our enemies and to bring us into a time of refreshing? I hope this word today has encouraged you that a transformation is taking place. The Lord is bringing on all that he intended for those who belong to him, that his promises are true, that he will defeat all of our enemies and bring us into an abundance of his blessing in this day. May we position ourselves in alignment with this word, trusting that the Lord is able to harness all things up for our benefit. Thank you for listening. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you again in the next video. Love and blessings. Bye for now.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. The Master's Voice is an audio and a visual resource, meaning that you can follow along here on video on YouTube. You can follow the Spanish channel that is called Canal Profético, La Voz del Señor, also here on YouTube. There are multiple channels there on Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon. Those are alternate viewing sites, and there you can get a more comprehensive look at prophecies of the Master's Voice and some prophecies that I can no longer host here on YouTube because of their policies against talking about certain things. You can find those things. It's mostly what they call medical misinformation, so to speak. Those prophecies on COVID and the vaccines and things like that, you can find them on my alternate platforms. If you're listening by audio, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and so many other types of podcasts that are naturally streaming the Master's Voice Prophecy Blog, there you can hear all the prophecies, including those from 2020, 2021 that can no longer be found here. And so the prophecy that I'm going to give now, the Lord gave it to me on March the 4th, and right now, today is March the 6th. It's early morning, March the 6th. So this prophecy is only about a day or 2 days old. And normally I could keep a prophecy longer, but the Lord is saying that this message has to go out because this message is less about the subject or the person who will be spoken about in this message. This message is less about the subject, because the subject has already been given over to judgment. The subject does not want to change. The subject does not want to stop what they're doing. The subject does not want to change their ways. This message is more of a warning to those who are following this person, to those who do not want to turn, to those who do not want to listen, to those who, when you hear what the Lord will describe in this dream, what the Lord is showing me in this dream, you will only get hardened with the warning of prophecy, and that is a very dangerous place to be. And so the title of this message is March the 4th, 2024, and the title is Beyonce is Going to Fall. Beyonce is going to fall. I know all her fans are already screaming and going off and frustrated, and yet you should be frustrated, and the person you should be frustrated with is yourself. You should be frustrated with yourself for being so in love with deception. You should be frustrated with yourself because you don't actually know how to discern what is good for you and what is not good for you. You should be frustrated with yourself because you lack wise judgment, because you are making foolish choices that God is going to judge you for. And it doesn't matter if you are an 11-year-old when you hear this. It doesn't matter if you're 31 years old when you hear this. It doesn't matter if you're one of the older ladies who just, oh no, I just love her. She's just got a certain something. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Beyonce when you hear this. You should know, and you must be told, and you have to have it said in your ears that if you continue following this woman, God is going to judge you for it. He is going to put this on your permanent record, your report card, that you were warned for a series of years. You were warned in 2022. You were warned in 2023. And to my surprise, here we are in 2024, and you are still being warned. And before you can even hear the prophecy, you are already upset. You are already starting your usual drivel of, oh, she just hates her, and you just wish that you could be her. And why is it always black celebrities? Listen to your level of thinking. Who told you that this is a black celebrity, white celebrity prophecy? Why is the general thinking level so dull? But let's hear what the Lord revealed. So I wrote this down like a journal, and I'm just going to read generally from here. So it should be easy enough to follow along. So I had this dream. This morning I dreamt about Beyonce. This is March the 4th when I had the dream. And I dreamt that something had happened to her that was such big news, that all the newspaper and all the syndicated news channels, this means the very, very big news channels that are all, you know, part of the larger network, they were all carrying it as a lead story. So something had happened, and it was everywhere. This was big, big news, breaking news. And the way that the news was doing it, you know how they love a juicy story. They were hyping it up so that it was an overtaking story. You know how they would have maybe a little bit of a story, and then they would say something like, we're going to stay with this story, and we're going to bring you developments as they happen. And the news just does this to bait people, to keep their numbers up so that they can steal members from their rival networks and things like that. But there's no need to steal anybody from everybody, because every single news channel in the country was covering whatever this was. And so I saw myself. I had this dream multiple times, by the way, which is how every wise Christian who knows the story of Joseph knows that that's how God establishes that he's going to do something. When the Lord is communicating something to you through a dream, you see the dream twice, three times. You see the dream five, six times over a very rapid period, depending on how frequently you see it and how short the period is. God is telling you, I'm going to do this very soon. But then some people could see it over a time, and he's still telling you the same thing, that this thing is scheduled. And so this breaking news story was being teased out. It was being stretched out as the biggest thing going on in America. And that's because you know that Beyonce will always command the headlines. She will always command the interest, no matter where she goes or what she does. It's always good for public numbers. And so I'm walking down the street in the first dream, and then all of a sudden a newspaper just appeared in my hand. Okay, so I was in Manhattan when this newspaper just appeared in my hand, and Beyonce had been given a whole side panel on the front page. So the front page is usually the lead story will take up this block. It will be a rectangle at the top. And then maybe the bottom of the page will be divided into two or three columns. So the bottom of this particular newspaper was divided into two columns, and Beyonce had one entire side at the bottom. So clearly something else was bigger news. And as I was reading that side panel, I stopped right there on the street, and it was about some scandal that she was involved in. So it was a breaking news scandal. And I read this entire story, and I cannot remember what the scandal was. So let that be understood. The Lord did not allow me to retain the knowledge of what it was that had happened. But the only thing is that as I was reading the scandal, the first thing that came into my mind was Michael Jackson. I immediately thought of Michael Jackson as I stood there on the street reading this newspaper in shock. And I said, wow, this is exactly what happened to Michael Jackson. And then the word scandal just rose up like this very big word in black letters in my heart. And it was also rising up the image of me standing there reading the newspaper, and God does that a lot. I'll have a picture and I'll be seeing myself, or I'll be seeing a picture, and then a word just comes and stamps on top of that image. And the word that came to me and also stamped on the picture of me reading this story was scandal. And then I woke up and I said, wow, oh, okay, Lord, I've seen it. I've seen the dream, and I'll remember it when it's time to wake up. But right now, it's too early to wake up, Lord. It's too early, please. I want to go back to sleep. And so I slept, but I had this same dream. Something happened concerning Beyonce, a huge scandal that was about her and something that she was doing behind the scenes. It was not her husband who made front page news. So please understand that. It was not Jay-Z who ended up on the front page of the newspapers and who ended up trending on all the major news channels in the United States. It was her. And it seemed like as the scandal was unfolding that Jay-Z was mentioned, but he was only mentioned in passing. Whether he was directly involved or not, the viewer, including myself, wouldn't be able to tell because they weren't focusing on him. The person who was catching all the flack, the person who was having all the questions asked about her and everything else was Beyonce. It was her face that was on the newspapers. And in some pictures, some newspapers had put flattering photos of her. So she appeared in the news and she looked good. But then in others, the newspapers were not painting her in a good light. So, you know, sometimes these tabloids and other newspapers, they will wait until the celebrity is not looking that great. Maybe their face is full of donuts, or they've gained extra weight, or they're at an unflattering angle. And the paparazzi are merciless. They don't care. They have kids to feed. And so they will take unflattering pictures. And it was these awkward photos that some publications were using. And together with the kind of story, the kind of scandal that had broken, and the way the news was running like wildfire through the country, it was very difficult for this woman to maintain a good image to the public. Her public image was being battered because of the story, because of how many people were carrying it, because of how much chatter, and because there was no deflection with her husband in the story. All guns were on her. And so I was sitting in this second dream in a cafe. So I was sitting in a cafe and I was just having something to drink. And then a newspaper just appeared in my hand like that again. And once more, it was a half page ad about Beyonce at the bottom column. And she was wearing so little in the second dream. She was wearing so, so little that I was mightily irritated even as I was reading the story, because the picture they had used for her was a picture where she's in this signature black leotard where the back is not fully covering anything. And so her whole backside was out in this black leotard thing that she wears, I think, for shows. And she was wearing not longer hair as she does. She was wearing a short bob, which is odd to me, but maybe the people who follow her know better. She had her hair was cut short, very crop, in a blonde crop. And so I don't know if the picture came from a show, but it was not flattering and it was very much getting on my nerves. And as I was reading the story, I was just thinking, why would you want the whole wide world to see you like this as you are fighting off a scandal? And I read the entire article, I read the whole story, and again, none of the details remained with me. But in this second dream, after I read it and I saw how she was clothed and how they just had her, you know, people always say, oh, this is a mother of children. Yes, but the mother of children is not asleep when she's choosing her wardrobe. So she can see her children and then she's still putting herself forward like that for you who consume it. So I was reading and then all I felt was, this is very bad. This is very bad. And then the image drew out a little bit and that big word scandal came up on the image of myself sitting there. And I woke up and I said, okay, Lord, I've seen it. I will remember when I wake up, but I think I still need to sleep. And so I slept again. And there I was back in Manhattan, walking down the street where we have these kiosks. You know, we have these newspaper kiosks and these guys are selling everything that you just need to save your life. They have soda there, they have water there, they have gum, they have coffee. They have sometimes gyros. They have so many things. And all of a sudden, I had a newspaper in my hip pocket, and I just pulled the newspaper out from the hip pocket of my jeans, and there was Beyonce again on the front page, and this was being called a scandal as big as Michael Jackson. It was being equated to Michael Jackson. So a scandal as big as MJ, and I'm standing there now in front of the park, and I'm reading it, and every single person in the park has the newspaper and is reading the newspaper. Every single person in the park is reading the same newspaper as me, and I'm telling you, that park is as frozen till only the Tweety birds are making the most noise. Everywhere you looked, on the park benches, scattered all over on picnic blankets, people had their cooler boxes out, people had taken sandwiches out, but they were not eating. People had their sunglasses on their head, and they were reading like, oh, you know when people are scandalized, and yet it's juicy, and they actually don't care in their heart. And this is the hypocrisy of many fans. You will act as if you're cut to your soul, as if this person is your mother's third child that she never told you about, and you're so cut. But at the same time, you're the same ones who will put your camera on and eviscerate this person. Have you heard? Have you noticed? Did you know? Anyway, I'm not saying too much, but what do you guys think? And you populate gossip spaces, forgetting that gossip is a sin, and you will roast under the gaze of Jesus Christ when he begins to go through your rap sheet on the judgment day. But let's continue. People were sitting and they were scandalized. They were covering their mouths, sitting bolt upright, and they were making these shocked noises like their last relative just died. And so I'm standing there right on the street, and I read the story again. And then in this dream, notice that the first dream, I thought to myself, what a scandal. This is the same thing that happened to Michael Jackson. That was what I retained from the first dream, and then scandal came. And then in the second dream, I'm wondering about why this woman doesn't wear much. Why does she present herself like this? And then also noticing that her husband is not picking up much flack. And then scandal comes up again. And then this third time, I'm standing outside a park, and everyone is reading the same story. So whatever this is, it will be everywhere. It will literally be everywhere. Because in the city, that park is opposite. The park that I was at is opposite a lot of the business district. That's the park that I was near. And so in this dream, what occurred to me was, why are these people softballing this story? The other story that I read was not like this. So remember, the second story that I read was not flattering at all. They didn't put her in a flattering light, and some newspapers were making her look deliberately bad, while some newspapers were not. They had put good pictures of her. But in this story, I was irritated because now I was like, why are they softballing the story? To softball something is that you don't take it, you don't take the ball and throw it with all your might, with the exception of maybe getting the other person out, getting them to swing and miss. You give them an easy ball that's easy for them to hit, and it's indicative that you're not really playing the game seriously. So I was asking myself, why is this newspaper softballing the story? The other story that I read was not like this. This one is as weak as cheap tea. These people are definitely trying to control the narrative, and they're trying to be more sympathetic to this woman, because the other story that I read before was definitely not like this. And I checked the front of the newspaper, and it was the New York Times, of course. And I was like, well, of course, typical. We should be glad that the New York Times is even covering this stuff. And that's because the New York Times is bought and sold to certain types of agendas, usually liberal agendas. No matter what they're reporting, they will always report it as trying to be so objective when they fail in that. And so it was a weak and a very heavily partial article. It's a kind of article that will definitely cover the basis of journalism, right? It will print the major facts, but then it tries to muddy what the audience will think. It tries to muddy up the crime, and it tries to water down the article using language like this. So someone is involved in a scandal. It's a big scandal. It's something that will evoke people's minds to Michael Jackson. But then this is how you write it. 500-time Grammy winner, world-famous music record breaker, Beyoncé, has been hinted at maybe being part of ABC questionable activity. We're covering this story. And what story are you covering when you have shown every spotlight of the Statue of Liberty on a person? How can we take you seriously that you're actually going to bring us the facts objectively in a way that we can make up our own mind about what's going on? And so I'm looking at this third newspaper with a confused face, and all my spirit was saying, my mind is asking me, why are they lying? Why are they trying to be her lawyer in this piece instead of correctly reporting the news? The first two papers that I read were still papers, but they were papers like the Washington Post that at least will make an effort to tell the story and give the reader the details. But other papers out there, like Entertainment Weekly and People, they were just going for broke. And the image that came up is, you know, when you just give a horse its head and just say, okay, horsey, just go. And, you know, they were running with this story. And TV wasn't the same. TV was the same. So I wasn't watching TV in this dream, but spiritually I could see the TV. It was like I was seeing the TV even though I'm standing there in the park. And I could see all the reporters on the liberal channels were toning down and softballing the story. They were trying to make it as low impact as possible. And the way they were doing it was looking at each other all concerned, like, what do you think this could be about, Mac? I'm not sure, Fanetta, but, you know, we're going to get deeper into the story. That's what they were doing. So they were all concerned, like it was some unfortunate grandma who got caught doing something that might be a little bit questionable, instead of the biggest female entertainer in the world being linked to some kind of breaking scandal in the United States. And I didn't wake up from this third dream. I went immediately into a fourth dream. In this dream, I pulled the newspaper from my hip pocket again, and I read it, and I frowned, and I said, Lord, what's going on here? Who is suppressing this news? I didn't know why, but I could tell spiritually, I could sense that the full truth was not coming out about this matter, but enough of it had leaked so that it was a scandal that Beyoncé could even be mentioned. She could even be mentioned in relation to such a matter, to such a thing. The full scandal had not come out, but enough details had come out where you could go to print with the story and not get sued. So I was questioning the Lord, and I was saying, Lord, what's going on here? The full matter has not come out. The full truth has not come out. Who's suppressing this? Who's behind keeping a lid on this news? However, because this news was in print, please listen, groupies, because enough of this news was there to cause a scandal to hit the press, I felt sure that now truth could enter Christian circles and would be enough to turn people back to Christ. That's what I said in this fourth dream. I said, it's in the paper now. That's what I was thinking. I said, they said it wasn't true. So whatever this is, it will be something that you've been told about Beyoncé Knowles. It will be something that it's not brand new. You've heard it. It's been floating around. It's been circling around like a dark circle around the sun. And you have heard it. And you've said it can never be. And now the never-be-ness had reached the paper. They said it wasn't true, but now look, it's hard to deny because even print media has picked up the story. And we all know that print media, right? A lot of you feel that the standard of care is the prophecy isn't good enough. It has to be in the paper. You always say, where's the proof? So when the paper picks it up, when the TV picks it up, then to you now it becomes real prophecy. But true Christians know that once it leaves the mouth of God, in fact, once he determines it in his heart, it's already a done deal. So I was saying it's hard to deny now because the print media makes it official. But oh my goodness, what a lie. I was lying to myself. People on social media went ballistic with the extent of their mental illness and their rage and their willingness to defend Beyoncé. It was like hearing the news and seeing it go official, instead of causing them to pause and think and say, what kind of person is it that I'm following and just blindly defending like this? Hearing the news pick up this story triggered these people to become greater experts at denying reality than ever before, It was incredible, and I literally said, no way. I said, God, no way is this the response to this breaking news story that these people are denying even harder and exhibiting so much instability at this woman being accused of this. This is what people said. They said, why is the media lying on her like that? Why is the media saying these things about her? Why didn't they research this story before making it public? Why isn't Jay-Z getting blamed for this? Why is he not on the front page instead of her? Because everybody knows he's the one who really did this and not her. She couldn't have done it. People were having breakdowns like it's not possible. They wanted the entire story, the entire crime, the allegations, the existing news reports, and the actual journalism, the evidence, and everything that had gone into breaking this story. People wanted this stuff to go away and disappear so that they could continue in their delusional fantasy of following Beyoncé, the perfect woman who only does perfect things. And I said, in this dream, I said, Lord, this is not possible. There is no way that this can ever be the result of people seeing actual facts and truth about this woman. Lord, no way. So just like people were insisting that the journalist should go away, the news report should go away, the TV should evaporate, they should go after Jay-Z. If they have to keep the journalism, if they have to keep the evidence, if the story has to break, they should go after Jay-Z. They should not go after Beyoncé, not the queen. She would never. It's the same way I was insisting to God, and I was saying, absolutely not, Father. There's no way that this is a real-life response to facts and truth coming out about this woman. And I saw myself saying, do you see it now? Do you see what God was saying about Beyoncé? Do you see it? Can you finally accept that what God said about her was true? The proof is finally in your faces. People turned on me. They told me, so what? You are so wicked and you just hate her. That's why. That's what you wanted to happen to her. That's why it's happened to her. Please listen, because this is next level, not on the planetness that I'm describing to you here. People on Earth today were saying to me, as a result of this scandal breaking and me asking them, as I have every right to defend God's honor, who told them these things. Since 2022, I've been bringing out these prophecies. There's up to 6 prophecies about Beyoncé Knowles, and they only have one response. You are a liar. You are jealous of her. You hate her. You don't even know her. The queen will continue. She will never lose her life. God loves her too. She will have a second chance. Maybe she's sorry. And the old faithful, it's Jay-Z who does everything to her. It's not her. You don't know her. So I asked people, can you see what God is saying? Because God is right, and God will be proven right about every name on this channel. You live long enough, you will see the Master's Voice prophecies coming to pass, not here, but on TV. I was asking them, you have proof now. It's out now. You wanted it to see, and now the biggest papers and news companies in the country are carrying the story. And I was told, so what? So what means we don't care about what we see. So what? Yes, we can see it. It's on all our phones. So what? It means proof is immaterial to a certain group out there. The next thing I was told, you are wicked. So speaking the truth of God to turn away from idolatry, from following people who are leading your footsteps to hell, that was called wickedness. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who say that light is dark and dark is light. They said, you, Celestial, are wicked. You just hate her. And that's what you wanted to happen to her. So that's what had happened. So basically, sitting here in this little apartment in Brooklyn, I have the power to just say, I want this to happen, and then it will happen. This is the mindset of the people that were responding to me. I was 100% amazed at this reaction that they were having, and I didn't take it quietly. I said, what? I told you the information. The information was not being seen. It was not visible at the time that I told you, but I told you the information by the Spirit of God. You called it a lie, and you said it was a lie because there was no proof, nothing to see. But now the information has been uncovered, and not by me. The information has proof. The information has real voices saying things about what I told you. The information has relevance, meaning that it directly connects to what I told you. It's not just something in the sky. I said the information is on TV and the information is in the newspaper, which means that the prophecy is starting to come true. So how can you call it a lie? Are you so deceived that instead of repenting and asking God to have mercy on you for calling his messages a lie as you did in the past and for worshiping this woman, you're doubling down in the sin? You're doubling down and saying, so what if it's happening? So what if it's true? You're saying that even if a prophecy happens, it's so what? Instead of using it as a benchmark to say, okay, it ends here. I've got to stop somewhere, and I think that I'll stop here. I've got to think about myself now because I can see it's going too far. I can see that all this stuff being exposed means that God isn't playing with us anymore. God is touching this woman, Beyonce, and not in a nice way. I don't want him to touch me next. So no, this is as far as I go with Beyonce or anyone. I'm stopping here. Remember, I'm dreaming and I'm seeing in the fourth dream that with the evidence I came to say, so what do we have to say now? The prophecy was a lie because there was nothing there, right? That's what you said. And now there's plenty there. The table is being set, and at least they put some finger food called the truth about Beyonce Knowles on the table. And people were saying, so what? You're a hateful woman. It's your wickedness that made this happen. This is happening to her because of you. You out there, listen and be the judge to this mindset, and tell me that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 9, 10, 11, and 12 are not real. Tell me that those four verses are not real and that they do not apply to millions of people alive on this planet today. People who hate the truth and they love the lie and they are willing to perish by that lie, and the Bible says that they will die because they hated the truth that could have saved them, and because of their hatred for truth, God will send a strong delusion into them. Do you know what it is when delusion gets a hold of you? Do you think you will get away from that spirit easily? Do you not know that delusion is the same spirit that has these gay boys putting their semen in their own mother's belly so that she can have a child for them because two gay guys cannot make a baby, but they don't want that to stop them? Mom is now carrying a child that is grandchild and also sibling or something like that. So instead of people saying when they saw the prophecy, you know what, the things this woman said, we might have fought them, but now we can see them coming to pass, and we can see that God is behind this. God is behind the exposure. God is touching Beyonce. We need to stop. No, it was not like that at all. Big fat capital no. People were blaming the media. They were blaming the media. They were saying, why is the media hounding Beyonce? Why are they going after her? They were blaming the media for sloppy and poor reporting. You guys didn't get your facts together. If you dig, you will find that it was somebody else. It was not her. They were saying to the media, why are you guys saying all this stuff just based on rumors? Why do you hate her? There was a lot of that use of that word, hate. Why is the media damaging her reputation like that without asking the proper questions or even giving her a chance to respond? So Beyonce was mute, completely mute, when this scandal was breaking. And they were saying, why doesn't the media give her a chance to respond? They were saying, why isn't her husband to blame? Why isn't the media going after Jay-Z? Why aren't the TV people going after Jay-Z? Don't they know that he's the wicked one? He's the one who's forcing her to do all this. And of course, they did not leave me out. It's you that did this, Celestial. This is me and my great powers here at home. It's you that did this. You hate her. And that's why this is affecting her. It's you and your bad energy that brought this on her. She's innocent. And just because it's happening, I wish I could do the way that they were doing, but I'm just not going to bring myself down to that level. But if you've ever seen these children with the blue hair, or you can see that these children are cut inside, on the inside. They've left the planet of normalcy, and they're now moving in a world where female chickens that lay eggs can also be roosters. And if you've ever seen these children in interaction, if you've seen these young people, even older people, 20s, 30s, they scream a lot. They go, "Ya-ya-ya-ya!" They scream a lot. And that's what people were doing. It's you that did this. You hate her. This is why this is affecting her. It's you and your bad energy. She's innocent. And just because it's happening, like you said, doesn't mean anything. Like that. Exactly like that. Even in the dream. Just like that. Just because it's happening to her exactly the way you said, it doesn't mean anything. And I woke up, and I knew in my heart that God is going to deal with Beyonce. He's going to deal with her specifically. And it was impressed upon me that it's her God is angry with first, for the way that she substitutes herself in the hearts of not only God's people. So this is not only the church that is hell-bent, and that's a perfect description, bent on going to hell, following someone who is going there herself. 10 toes down that where the queen goes, they're going to. And what a bold, bold decision this is. You have to be locked in. And a lot of people are thinking like this unconsciously. They will deny, "I'm not going to hell for her. I just like her." You don't even know that you have a soul tie that you are in this late hour not equipped to break. You are not equipped to break this soul tie. So it's her that God is angry with first. It is her who has siphoned worship. To siphon literally means to make a little side channel. The picture of siphoning is when you have car A and car A runs low on gas and there's no gas station nearby. Guys understand this. And then car B will say, "Well, I'll help you out," and they park close enough. And then they get some little tubing, and they run it between one gas tank and they do something. Men do something, and then the gas begins to go from the full tank to the empty tank. So if you're doing it with the other person's knowledge that they're giving you gas, then fine. It's just siphoning. But siphoning has a sneaky feeling around the world, because around the word, because you're actually really stealing, you're robbing something from one to build up the other. And God says that Beyonce siphons worship from him. The full focus that people should have, the screaming that you should have, God is worth screaming for. God is worth clapping for and fainting for and crying for. The things that people should have towards, yeah, they don't have it, but they have it for Beyonce. The energy that you've never had for God in your entire life of claiming that you are saved, you have it for this woman. You would follow her to the surface of the sun if she was having a show there. And you would rob your entire family member to be able to pay for the ticket. And that says so much about you that it's you who will have to investigate your heart about what that means. God says that Beyonce siphons worship and adoration away from him, and she places herself in his place. Now her followers will go crazy and say, "How does she do that?" And the answer is, how do you know that she doesn't do that? Are you one of the muscles in her little heart to know what she thinks, what she does? Has God ever talked to you about who she is, what she thinks, what her motivations are? If not, why are you speaking? Let the people who talk to God speak and tell you what God has to say, and then you listen or reject it. And then your ending will be based on if you listened or rejected it. But at least listen. She has stolen God's place in millions of hearts. She is an idol to millions. And she does not even tell people not to worship her or not to be so manic about setting her on a pedestal. So I've spoken here many times about how human beings are consumed with the need to worship. We were built to worship. And if we don't have a clear understanding of what worship is and who it's to be directed to, we will erect our own gods 10 times out of 10. You just read the Bible and you'll see it. You leave people alone long enough and they're carving a tree or they're building a little Buddha. They have to have something. And the thing with people who don't want to grow in faith is the maturity of faith worships an unseen God. He is not seen, but his presence is all around. But when your faith is small, when it's weak, and you don't want to do the hard work of growing it, then you need a little something. That's why so many people like, oh, I just need a little confirmation. And even Gideon, at the beginning of his faith, he needed to put the fleece in front of God. We need physical things. But mature people know that the best physical thing is the Word of God. You go to that thing, and very soon the Holy Spirit will be connecting with you, building you up, helping you. You have some worship music going. You'll feel the peace of God come upon you. We don't worship a God that can be seen. That's his choice for now. The people who were lucky enough to see him, God bless them. They're gone now. And God told Thomas in his doubting that a better generation was coming, a blessed generation, a people, he said, who would worship me and they will believe without seeing me. And here we are, and we don't want to grow into the fulfillment of that prophecy. Some of us, millions of us, most of us, don't want to grow into it. So God says that Beyonce doesn't stop people from worshiping her. And as we go on, he says that she doesn't even stop people from setting her on a pedestal. So she'll never reprimand her fans. She'll never say, you guys be calm and things like that. And there's a reason for that. God says that Beyonce is not humble. She is using the worship and the adoration of people that comes out of them like a wave for dark magic and witchcraft. So the reason she doesn't put a stop to it is because these people who are in the occult, these people who are serving the Baphomet, those who have made their contract, not all of them, please, you've never heard me say that every musician has a contract, every actor has a contract. There's a price to pay to be big, big, big. And usually you can see it on their faces after a while. Sin don't hide. Sin does not hide. But God says that the reason this worship is necessary, this worship, this crying, all this stuff, Michael Jackson had this. That man was so deep in the occult. So deep in the occult, doing witchcraft and rituals to harvest energy off of people. And now in these last days, the musicians don't hide that they do it. You go to these places, all of you, and you come back. There was some kind of heavy darkness. What do you think it was? The joining of multiple colognes. Don't you know that demons were there with you, attaching to all of you that are there? You think it was only the song and the artist that was there? Plenty of passengers were there. And many of you who go to those places, you come away with a brand new crop of demons to add to the first group that took you there in the first place. And that is just free information. So God says that the worship and the adoration that comes out of people to Beyonce, she's using it for dark magic and witchcraft. He says that it's an energy that this woman is harvesting like a battery, and he called it the juice of the people. And again, when I think of juice, the only thing I can think of is a car that's run out of gas that needs jumper cables. I think men use that term, let's juice it up, or something like that, when they're fixing cars, fixing old engines. That's the first thing that came to my spirit when he was talking to me after I woke up and I was recording the 3-4 dreams that I had. He said she's using the juice of the people, their energy, like a battery for evil, and she's powering herself like a battery using the adorations of her fans. God says she is sapping many of them of their blessings and their continued wealth on this earth. What a shame. So you've just turned into a Chase bank. You just turned into what bank is there? A Wells Fargo ATM for someone. That person is siphoning off the grace of God from on you. You go to these concerts, you are in the presence of master craftsmen, witchcraft, occultists. They've performed so many rituals backstage, and you think you're having an experience, and you are literally in the mouth of hell with disco lights and you're just thinking, how blessed am I to be here? And the wise ones go, and then they begin to hear and feel everything that I told them before they went there, and then they're having all these little regret episodes and talking about, I'm so sorry that I went. Well, tell God sorry and repent unto the Lord, because it is him that you disobeyed, and still go to these shows, and millions will still go because they will not agree with anything as you heard. And so she's powering herself. But remember, I told you that God says this woman's time is very short. All the rituals, all the sacrifices, Satan is a horrible taskmaster, and he never lets anyone off the hook. And what the Lord has told me is that these jump starts, right, these things, they're not working anymore. He's saying that they're having to do more and more and more backstage, out of sight. They're having to do more and more behind the scenes, not even at the shows, to power this woman back up to life. Why? Because Satan can only offer you so much. Even stealing energy and spiritual strength off of people can only do so much. When the Lord says it's done, it's done. The entire thing will start to power down. And what God says is that her virtue inside, this is actually not spiritual virtue. This is life itself, is being sapped out. That is being drained out as a result of all the wicked acts that she has participated in, consented in, and done. If Mr. Carter goes to hell, he will be going to hell for his own sins. And should any other hellies see his wife there, she is not there because anyone did her dirty. One goes to hell for one's own faults, one's own transgressions against Jesus Christ, one's own choices and sins. You cannot go to hell by mistake. You can be tempted there, you can be driven there, but there is a fail-safe that is even better than your computer or your phone asking, are you sure you want to reset? You know how many times they ask you if you want to reset before you can finally reset a phone? Hell is even more fail-safe than that. So, God says that idols will fall in America. None will be tolerated. No idol will stand at the same time that Yah is standing. No idols will be left. The tall trees will fall down, and the Lord alone will be standing in power at the end of it all. Thus saith the Lord. And so you're hearing the Lord say something that I've been saying here for consistently for years now. America the proud will fall because America herself is a prize idol in the earth. But within her, my goodness, there are many, many gods. And people have taken these prophecies about Beyonce and they've twisted them and said, oh, she said the concert. I never told you. I don't keep up with the things that you keep up with. I never said that. And the thing is that all my prophecies are up. They never go anywhere. They are consistent and they're always up and neatly labeled so that all you have to do if you are not a total abject liar is to go and watch them and find out what I did say. I said that I saw this woman suspended in the heavens along with many other idols, T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn, Joyce Meyer. Many of them were up there. And I said that the Lord grew frustrated with the presence of what we call luminaries, stars, elevated people. He grew frustrated with their presence in the high heavens. Man doesn't belong there. Notice that none of us even live in the trees. Our place is down here. We're down here as a sign to stay humble. But they had risen due to worship, adoration of people. They had risen above their station. And the Lord gave a sharp command. And I said that I saw the angels come and start pushing them out of heaven. And one of the people who was pushed was T.D. Jakes, and he fell, and he had a shattering end. That is exactly the words of the prophecy. And I said that I saw that Beyonce was pushed from up there, and when she fell on her neck at a sharp angle, and she broke herself. She had a breaking fall. That is what I said. I said that this woman is deep in witchcraft. She is. She is a sorceress of extreme power. She is a temptress, meaning that she carries powerful demons of lust, which is why the women have become Jezebelites and vixens following her. It's a spirit that transfers, that takes the good girlness off you and turns you into a harlot. And you can argue all you want that you don't have the harlot spirit, but once you start to see the same manifestations of actions, affectations, appetites, presentations, the same likes and desires, what do you think you are doing? You are just merely a reflection of what you've picked up with her, whether you like it or not. So the prophecies are very clear. I said that God says this woman's destruction will be greater than Michael Jackson's destruction. And Michael Jackson's destruction, it stopped everything but the sun. It stopped the whole world. You didn't need to speak English to know that the king was dead, so they said. And when the queen dies, it will be the same. Her death, God says, will be bigger than Michael Jackson. It will be bigger than Elvis. So why are you angry? How is it wicked to speak what God is saying? When Moses went to Pharaoh and said what happened, then what? Pharaoh was angry, yes, but we know how he ended. Pharaoh was hard-hearted. Pharaoh was hearing prophecy and Pharaoh was being given every opportunity and he simply kept crossing the line. Many of you keep crossing the line because you don't know that you have the same spirit of rebellion that Beyonce has. What makes you think that God comes to public judgment of an international figure without having spoken to that person in their dreams and in their so-called fake prayer time that they claim they're having? I'm a church girl. Church girl. Real church girls know themselves and they don't plug their menses with pages from the Holy Book. Who are we lying to here in these last days? Why are you so resistant to the truth of God? Why must you lie yourself into an early grave or into some graphic punishment that will have you crying? Why do you have to be dragged into righteousness? Only people out there know, whoever this is for. No one can claim to reflect Jesus Christ and not look like him. It doesn't matter if you are working in the midst of any industry that may not look godly. God can put a person into industries, into places where it's not godly, and you will see the light of the gospel shining. You will see the fruit of that person's harvest coming in. Unsaved people need examples too. Don't you know that? Unsaved people need the salt to be there too. Every soul, every creature, he said, go out and preach the gospel. You can't preach the gospel to people in Hollywood from wherever you are. God has people there. God will send more people there. He will link more people to those people to witness to them so that if they reject it, there will be no excuse. When they are judged, he will say, did you not marry a Christian girl? Was your husband, was your makeup artist not constantly sharing Bible verses with you? You constantly were looking at her Instagram, and every time you looked at her Instagram, you felt something, and you fought that something and suppressed it and went to more mansion parties. So what further compassion and mercy do you want to have? Do you want me, Yah, to have on the decisions that you made? This woman has been given every opportunity, and the bigger you are, the longer God bears with you. But the thing is that when you start to lead millions into the mouth of Satan, millions into this Orisha, why do you have altars in your home? What is wrong with you? The people who actually know about ancestral worship and know about mermaid worship, water worship, they are sprinting out of that thing. They are 100% this Nigerian worship. They are rejecting every corner of it and running into the arms of Jesus. And it's the American girl sprinting into the mouth of something with eight octopus arms under the sea, talking about this and that and whoever. Is this not the upside-downness of the end times? If you lose your seat in the kingdom of God, rest assured that you never had one to begin with. You were only keeping it warm for the true children to show up. And so that is where I'm going to leave this prophecy. The title of this message is Beyonce Will Fall, March the 4th, 2024. And I prophesy here in the hearing of all listening that a scandal is going to break concerning Beyonce Knowles. Her husband may or may not be tangential to the story. He may be mentioned, he may be not, but the guns will be trained on her. The heat lamps will be on her. The targets, the laser will be on her back as this scandal is breaking. and it will be everywhere trending in the news, with some people giving us the full story, some people doing proper investigative journalism, and other people doing unpaid lawyer work for her, softballing the story, trying to make it seem like it's not as important as it is. It's going to be about some important major topic here that is going to be reminiscent of the fallen pop idol Michael Jackson. When you hear whatever this scandal is, Michael Jackson's story and whatever it is that he might have been accused of will also come to mind. And when the Christian community is confronted with the breaking of this scandal, many, many millions and thousands of them will refuse to listen. The demons controlling them, the covenant, the initiation that they've come under with Beyoncé will make them as stubborn and hard-hearted as Pharaoh. They will hurl accusations. They will blame everybody except the person who is at the center of the story. And always remember that the great falling away is happening. The separation is happening. Light and dark is happening. The fake pastors, you see them acting up in these churches. Know that they're showing you that they are goats on stage. Baphomet's boys. The Illuminati paid demons who are here to lead fools into perdition. And they shall have their portion. 2 Peter 1-3 say so. The false prophets are going to have an audience, and God says that for that audience they take into hell, their judgment will not tarry. Matthew 24, Jesus said that false Christs and false prophets will arise. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, 11, 12. There have to be people who are deceived by the devil's conversation, by the devil's deceivable acts, lying wonders. That category must exist. The reason people like me are here is to ask you, what box are you ticking? How are you filling the form? And who are you going to go with? I am Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. The Master's Voice is available on many platforms, so you are free to choose where you're going to listen, where you're going to hear the word of the Lord, and where you're going to turn your feet from evil and start to follow truth, not me. Truth is Christ Jesus in all his majestic splendor. And so I say thank you to all of you who support the channel. Thank you to all of you who are a blessing to this channel. I thank you for your gifts. May the Lord bless you and return it to you in multiples. And since I don't often bring this up, I just want to say again, please don't send me anything on Cash App, okay? I'm not really using that platform. It's under many of my old videos, yes, but it's not in use. So can you please just do that? And also, if you're using PayPal, please remember you're not under any duress. If you're out of the country, please don't use it. Please look under my videos always, and the instructions are there. Everything has to be done rightly and in order. I'm thankful for you, and I do pray for you, but I just ask you not to make things difficult for me, please. Always look under the video. You'll find the blurbs there. You'll find all the links there. If the prophecy's written, it will direct you back to the blog, and you'll also find how to do the giving properly so that PayPal captures a lot of what you guys sent from outside the country. I never see it. And I just think that you should know that so that you can know that if you're trying to send the PayPal people's kids to school, then you're doing a better job than you might want to. Another thing I have to warn you about is scammers. People are creating. This is part of why I didn't want to bring out my new logo and my new branding that was made for me. It was made for me all the way last year in November, but I hesitated to bring it out simply because the minute anything touches the internet, these scammers are going to just upgrade their game. So they're already contacting people and telling them, send money to an orphanage. Don't do it. I can't be here in New York City and running orphanages in Nigeria. Don't do it. The email to use is just underneath the video. Look at the email carefully and don't write whatever you want to write before you end up funding the mob. They have already made false emails that look like my emails. Be careful. Be wise. Just take 2 minutes longer and think about what you're thinking about. Please. So, God bless you, and thank you for being here with me, Celestial. This is the Master's Voice. And until I see you again, goodbye.